Everybody, what's poppin'? We're in the DealsInTheD.com studios. We had some issues getting going on Facebook Live today. Apologies for that. Those of you who are just listening to the podcast, please ignore. Why does my nose start running every time I come down? Am I allergic to the podcast
to me,
now?
Maybe you're allergic to me. You came down here. You're not allergic to the podcast.
Okay, good. By the way, the podcast was announced 4 years ago today.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. Michelle Ball had a post from 2016.
Kinda cool.
It's kind of funny. Yeah. Actually, Mike Clark announced it prematurely. He was asked not to announce it, and he couldn't resist.
That's on brand.
Yes.
Wow,
so
4 years.
Jay had to really... hustle to get it going because we didn't want to be too far away from the announcement. So actually it inspired the show to start sooner than it probably would have.
True.
Editor's note, there are now a million podcasts. I was reading my podcast newsletter daily or whatever the hell it is, and it said, we've reached the millionth podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I got exciting podcast news.
I heard.
There's a new episode of Here's the Deal with Joe Biden, and I listened to the whole thing.
Did a drop just play that I couldn't hear?
I didn't.
That was me.
Oh,
sorry.
That was Trudy. Hi, Trudy.
Hi. How you doing?
Trudy, thanks for stopping by. How you doing?
No problem. I'm the reason for the clusterfuck, by the way. So.
Really? What have you done now? You're at iHeart. Is it iHeart's fault?
Yeah. I'm at my boss daddy's house, and I did not. I had a day one dysfunction with the board, and that cost us a good half an hour. So sorry about that.
Who's your boss daddy's house?
iHeart.
Oh, okay. I thought you were
Paul business daddy, as John Oliver would say.
Paul Corvino's house or something. Tony Trovato's house. I wasn't sure.
Well, that's not, those are both nicer than the iHeart building.
Probably.
Oh, you should see the background of that place.
Yeah.
You should do a live shot from his joint.
Corvino's?
Oh, he's got a hell of an office.
Yeah.
Really nice. Very cool.
I've heard.
Good guy. In fact, when I saw that post Michelle put up today, it reminded me of talking to iHeart right before then. And they were like, well, what's Mike up to? And I was thinking, Mike really doesn't want to work 5 days. And it'd be great to have Mike. And I was thinking, how am I going to explain what exactly Mike will do and what Mike won't do? Because it seemed to suggest that he wouldn't want to do it. But on the other hand, he wanted to do something.
Yeah.
And it would have been worth it. So anyway, it's all water over the bridge. And I'm just fresh from Gretchen's press conference, Governor Gretchen Whitmer, behind a podium now. Somebody's listening.
Yeah, well, they needed a podium because they had a bunch of different people speak. The first time I think we've seen Lieutenant Governor Gilchrist. What is he like?
Is he the really tall black guy?
Eight and a half? I think he's the only black guy, if you want to judge it by that. But yeah,
I really didn't even know who that was.
I think he's 8 feet tall.
Yeah, he's huge.
He's gigantic.
Yeah, he looks tall even when I was fast-forwarding through him.
Yeah.
Not because he's black.
No. No, he's
I want to see how fake the press conference was.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that table with the tablecloth was, you know, the half-off tank tops, half-off table. That was terrible.
It was awful.
So, yeah, what was Gretchen talking about? She's taking a 10% pay cut. That's going to make a big difference. Senior staff's taking a 5% pay cut.
Stupid government!
And, you know... I got to tell you, I don't know. I was annoyed when she didn't respond. This whole protest in Michigan has become very interesting to me because it doesn't matter what anyone says about it. People get mad.
Yeah. That's a great way to summarize it.
I'm not sure who the maddest is because, you know, we were talking about oh, my God, these people aren't social distancing. And, of course, people that were protesting, fuck you. Those are just a few people. And,
nice job. None of you.
And I honestly believe that that's true. And the media does love pictures, and there was a Confederate flag.
And a swastika or a swastika.
So I'm told that's fake news.
What? That's fake news?
That wasn't there.
Okay, all right,
nope,
great.
That was a, what do they call them, actors?
A crisis actor?
Maybe a crisis actor holding, I don't know. They didn't say that, but
I wish you weren't a liar.
I just love that the term crisis actor. It's we actually thing. Know what that means now, and it's a thing, even though it's probably is it really? It's not a thing, is it? Have we ever verified that a crisis actor was a crisis actor?
You mean aside from David Hogg? I thought that was as good as gold, right?
Well, anyway, so today I get this.
I'm fucking 17.
I got this direct message about, you know, sort of walking back the protest. And so I get this. Those people are all white nationalists. It's a Trump rally. Call a spade a spade.
Boy.
I'm like, you know, I really don't think all those people were white nationalists. I don't believe that. I just don't. I think a lot of people were really people who want, you know, who are, I don't know what to call them.
Went out of the cage.
Yeah, they went out of the cage, and they're probably people who take a lot of personal responsibility or feel that they can take a lot of personal responsibility. And I thought Gretchen really sort of, not that these people are too crazy about her, but she said something about people caring more about jet skiing than killing their parents.
Oh, God.
The whites still support the president.
And I thought that was... It was a little oversimplified, Governor, because what these people are saying is, and of course, they play into everyone's hands when they're all clumped up on the Capitol steps and people take pictures of them with their guns and whatnot. And it completely ignores all the people who were in cars and weren't being imbeciles and saying imbecilic things. But what people were saying was, hey, if I have a motor on my boat, it's no different than if I'm rowing a boat. It's just me. And I guess that's the difference. And of course, the landscapers and people that want to do roofing and things like that, they're not, it's not because they want to kill their parents. They think they can do both. They think they can not kill their parents and they can have landscaper.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I said it better than she did. 57% prefer her stay at home message, and 37%. Was it Gretchen versus Trump? Is that how it was worded?
Yeah, I believe so. That's approval in the state.
Okay.
She's 57 approve, 37 disapprove.
That's right.
He's 44 approve.
Okay.
But they don't have his disapproval overall. But of course,
I think it was
50,
51. I think it was 51 or 52.
52 for independents disapprove of him. But, you know, that falls right on party lines.
Pretty much. And they also had a number.
Less so with the governor, for whatever that's worth.
28% said they're worried about putting food on the table. And, you know, I've been wondering about those people because I feel like they're either this whole business, because, you know, when the economy was humming and unemployment was 3.5%, I would always hear these people saying, oh, but those jobs, a lot of those jobs suck and those people live from paycheck to paycheck. So when this happens, I'm thinking, oh, my God, these paycheck-to-paycheck people. Mm-hmm. There's supposed to be so many of them.
Like the NBA players?
Yeah. Yeah. 150 NBA players living paycheck-to-paycheck, according to one player.
C.J. McCollum, yeah.
So I thought, you know, people are going to be starving in no time. And it doesn't seem like they are, or nobody's saying they are. But in this poll, 28% are worried about putting food on the table.
Yeah.
And actually, Joe Vetting sent me something this morning.
Buzzkill!
He was kind of wondering the same thing. And 31% of renters did not pay rent April 1st or since the month of April started. And there is a renters on strike movement where renters are saying they are not going to pay rent because they can't work and they don't have rent to pay.
Is that in their agreement?
No, I think this is a COVID-19 movement. So, yeah.
Coronavirus!
A lot of messy shit out there. But it could be worse.
Fun!
You could be Eb from Green Acres, who died at 81.
Should we call his phone
number? What? No!
Yeah.
Should we do a voicemail check? It's always exciting to find out if a dead person's voicemail is still operational.
I got to tell you, though, I still have shell shock from the time we called Leonard Nimoy's number and someone answered.
I know, that was really weird.
That was his wife.
Really awkward.
Very heavy.
I thought you handled it well, though.
I know, it got weird really fast.
I don't know how you did that. I freaked out.
And Brandon maybe can enlighten us. Playmate Ashley Madison is committed suicide.
Oh.
Ashley Mattingly.
Oh, Mattingly, yeah.
Yeah.
Ashley Madison. That's the
Don's website. Family?
Yeah.
Don Mattingly.
Don Mattingly's daughter, possibly.
Hopefully.
Was it Playmate? I don't know.
Was it?
Brandon, can you fill in the blanks?
Maybe it was the Mattingly, Ken Mattingly. Maybe it's his granddaughter.
Oh, from Apollo 13?
Ken Mattingly, you're going to the moon.
I mean, she's a very beautiful girl. I this is the first time hearing about it. She was a playmate, Playboy.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't. I don't know. I don't know a lot of the Playmates. I didn't never had a subscription to that magazine.
Yeah, they're never in scenes with Johnny Sins, Drew. That's why he doesn't know who they are.
Yeah, if she didn't have a conversation with James Dean, I don't know who the hell she is.
She never took a load to the face from who else? I don't know, Brandon. Name another.
Dale DeBone. I don't know. Peter North.
What are the circumstances of her death?
Peter North
should
have died that way. Suicide.
Hey,
Jesus.
I had not yet mentioned that it's 420. In fact, it's about 420 on 420, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you just missed it. You missed it. PJ let everyone know on Facebook.
Damn it.
He should throw a watch party.
Willie Nelson is throwing a party online. I guess a bunch of celebrities are smoking up with him.
Did you know that Snoop Dogg smokes weed?
Anyone hear about Willie's party? Has anyone checked in on that? Anybody on Facebook Live want to mention?
No, they're here. Man. Don't send them away.
No, I'm not sending them away. I just want to know if they, because it was going on like 3 hours ago. Like, they can't still be bonging out, can they?
Do you think Willie has tech problems setting up his watch party?
Possibly. I'm thinking about throwing a watch blowout, but maybe not today. I don't know. I think it's getting old. I just don't think people appreciate the party anymore.
I think you're underdogging it.
The movie Stoner Hall of Fame, I saw a list today of that. Oh. And a lot of great people in there. Anybody want to contribute somebody?
I can tell you a million of these.
Jay and Bob. Is that what you mean?
Big Lebowski?
The dude, of course.
Yes.
Half-Baked, Dazed and Confused.
Cheech and Chong. Everything.
Your characters.
Every Cheech and Chong.
Dazed and Confused. Actually, the guy that was in the Hall of Fame from Dazed and Confused was Slater.
Got the long Slater's son.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. He rambles. He talks very philosophically, very stoned.
Yeah.
I just thought of one, too, that it wasn't on the list. Was Donald Sutherland's character from Animal House.
Yeah, the professor.
Yeah, he talks about teacher. How there could be a whole universe under his fingernail.
Yes, that's a really good one.
Spicoli.
Yeah.
He's one of Fast Times, Pineapple Express, Harold and Kumar. That's a great one.
You got it.
Oh, great one. I love
You're
that.
Nailing all of them. They mentioned George Hanson from Easy Rider, which was Jack Nicholson's character, who found pot when he met Peter Fonda and... who's the other guy with Fonda in the movie?
Hopper?
Yeah, Dennis Hopper. Mm-hmm. And he became a stoner overnight, and he really liked it, and it sort of made pot seem more normal. let's see, Cheech Chong, Carl Spackler from Caddyshack? Was Bill Murray a stoner in that movie? They said he had his own strain of pot.
Yeah, didn't he have that scene with Chevy where they...
They specifically made that scene that way they could get Chevy Chase and Bill Murray to interact together. In the entire movie, so they had... They had them go in there and smoke a big old chonger, he called. What did he call it? He called it a big old doobie.
Yeah.
Wait, Brandon, you sure pay attention to stoner scenes.
I enjoy that genre.
Harold and Kumar, did you mention them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, both.
Okay. Let's see. Captain Mac, which is Snoop in Soul Plane. I don't remember the movie at all. They also mentioned Ice Cube's character in Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Method Man and Red Man in How High.
You know, ridiculous movie.
And the entire cast of Reefer Madness, which was a 1936 film, which is supposed to be educational, teach you about pot, it's and the people so act crazy. Yeah.
Full of lies.
We're smoking
they're not
reefer.
Good. They're not good stoners, though, you know?
Not at all.
But kind of negative stoners.
Okay.
That's a weird list. I'm trying to think. That's probably everybody. Do you want to try Ebb?
Yeah, we could try it. I want to know if his voicemail is intact. It's always interesting to see how long it takes people normally to make changes like that. See, mine's never been set up, so it'll be forever not set up.
Just asking because you have to call the top of the telephone pole, so you're going to need the extra power.
Exactly.
For Ebb.
Hall Financial Hotline is in check. If you are paying anywhere near 4% on your mortgage, you should be refinancing with Hall Financial. Go to davidhallmortgage.com. DavidHallMortgage.com/DrewAndMike.
We're sorry. Oh. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service. Ooh. If you feel you have reached...
Maybe he's in the hospital already, so they DQ'd it.
It's the fastest disconnection.
That's pretty quick.
Because he was just on the show, not that long ago.
Can we check Ashley Mattingly?
I don't have a number for it, unfortunately.
Happy 420 from Grow Green Michigan, our Facebook sponsor. To help celebrate all the hardworking growers, Grow Green is giving away their new Grow Green during quarantine, Grow Green during quarantine t-shirts to every in-store and curbside pickup customer all day today. They're also, let's see, hooking up the first 420 online orders from some free with some free Grow Green swag.
Really?
How cool is that?
That's starting now.
GrowGreenMI.com. GrowGreenMI.com.
Did you see the shirts?
Yeah, I'm looking at them.
Wash your hands, water your plants, grow green in quarantine.
Yeah.
nice.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I always sort of like the pot leafs. I don't know why, and they've got them in two of these t-shirts.
It's pretty cool.
Very cool. Yeah, so growgreenmi.com. Grow Green is totally stocked on every major brand of nutrient and soil, including ProMix, Mother Earth, Root Organics, and Dairy Dew. They have everything you need for your lawn and home garden. They do more than cannabis. Shop in-store online at growgreenmi.com. Delivery and curbside pickup available. And for 420, hooking up the first 420 online orders with some free Grow Green swag. So there you go. Alrighty. 420 is also the Columbine anniversary.
Yeah.
God, it's weird thinking back on that. I mean, the first thing I think of is the stupid song.
Song, yeah, always. 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 And is it kind of sad that you probably know the names of the two guys that did it, but none of the people that died in it?
You know, I don't. What are their two? I don't remember their names, honestly. I just know.
Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold?
Oh, the two guys that did the. Yeah, I thought you meant did the song.
No, fuck those guys. No one knows them. Sorry.
I always sort of felt like I know I'm going to hell when Columbine Day comes up because I was really critical of the song and it came out, you know, 3 weeks or so after. And I think it was a little inappropriate, possibly. Oh, I think they're over-harmonizing.
This song or Nick Lachey's hand-washing song, which one's better?
Columbine, flower blue.
Nick Lachey's hand-washing song is so bad, I like hearing it occasionally.
Yeah, but at least this is fully original. I mean, that's a...
I think this one goes through me more than Nick Lachey's.
But wait until the harmonies come in, guys.
True. They are really pushing the harmonizing.
Columbine, there's hope for you. Columbine, friend of mine.
Okay,
Turn our pain to your gain. Comfort us with your love.
Okay, now I remember why I thought I was going to hell.
It's awful.
The song is terribly inaccurate, too. The school is full of cliques. The jocks and the hot girls were number one.
Yeah.
If you had money, you were protected. And Klebold and Harris were nerds who didn't play sports. They weren't terribly hot, and their families weren't terribly rich.
Oh, boo-hoo.
So, no, well, no, yeah. I'm not saying that they were right to shoot the place up. I'm just saying this Columbine friend of mine.
Trenchcoat Mafia or something?
It just didn't seem like a very friendly place. From what I mean, everything I've heard about it since, I'm not trying to just be a dick about it.
Brought them together, though, man.
They were trendsetters because trench coats became fashionable after that.
Well,
sort of.
I can recall, I was a freshman when all that went down and so much changed in school. No longer were you able to wear a trench coat. That pissed off the goth kids because they did. They enjoyed wearing their trench coats.
Why could you wear a trench coat? Then, that's ridiculous.
That is the dumbest
also
rule.
They also took away our backpacks for the remainder of my freshman year. And so there was no longer any backpacks. You had to carry everything. That was kind of, who cares, whatever. We understood. But some people had clear backpacks, and those kids got made fun of. So going online this morning on Twitter specifically and seeing, you know, hashtag Columbine is one of the number one trends because it is the anniversary.
Look at all the weed behind Brandon, by the way.
I know.
In his background. Look at all that weed.
He's growing it green.
Oh, yeah. I decided to do the show today outside, celebrate a little 420. This is just the backyard. It's no big deal. But
nice.
When I was on Twitter, I was seeing all this stupid praise for these two dorks, Dylan and Eric or whatever.
Praise.
Yes. Nice. Just right there on Twitter. And, you know, I don't know if it's just trolls or what, but it's just ridiculous how much these two guys
are
really kind of held in high esteem.
Aren't they kind of the patron saints of school shootings?
Yeah, they were the textbook study and all these disengaged sort of, you know, out of the mainstream kids who felt they were bullied, they looked up to them.
Losers.
They fought back. And
go back to the 90s, faggots!
You can find
that doesn't
some...
help.
What? No, what are you talking about?
Well, they were called those things. You can find a lot of people who think they're just the greatest, including that idiot that shot up San Diego, the sorority house or whatever.
Oh, you mean Elliot Rogers? Yeah.
Oh, what a loser he was.
I should be back in school.
Honestly, I read his manifesto, I wanted to bully him myself.
I know. They
and I
really
think I would have. If
really...
I could go back in time, I would bully Elliot Roger.
Well,
and encourage
really,
others to bully him, too.
They really didn't prove their plan, I mean, or prove their point.
No. Maybe they did. They bring the school closer together? Because the school sounded real clicky before, and now, as you said,
goodbye,
they've all come
fucking
together.
Shit school.
Nope, doesn't sound like it.
I'm not serious.
What a so weird.
What year
was that? I don't even remember.
It was 99. It's 21 years ago today, Columbine. These two kids went in and shot and killed 13 people. I think 20-some were injured, and then they shot themselves in the library. And I was watching this little piece on it this morning because I, you know, came up in Twitter trending, and I was like, every time I look into comedy, it just freaks me out. It's so weird. And there's a video that they made in Klebold's basement that apparently no one's allowed to see.
Because why are they nude making out?
No, that's probably
let's
in there
just say
somewhere.
That.
Yeah. They're just talking condescendingly about other school shootings, like, oh, that guy only killed 3 people. What an idiot.
It's funny you say that, though, Mark, because the Elephant movie, in 2003, they made a movie called Elephant. It was basically about those two. Kind of a little known movie, but in that, the two guys
like
that
kind
are
of a dark movie to
basically
me.
Playing those two dorks. They end up making out in the shower before the shooting. I don't know why they threw that in there.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's called Elephant, and it's.
I love that you remember that scene.
Yeah, well, I mean, it stood out because I was like, wait, I never heard of that.
It's really bizarre.
I bet you're banging your roommate that was in the shower.
Maybe that's where that drop came from. That guy just watched Elephant.
They were also talking about how it's going to be the biggest event ever. We're going to go down history. I mean, they really believed that this was going to be.
They were right.
I know.
They were right. We're talking about it 21 years later, which is
still know their
sad.
Names.
Yeah. Because the song sucks. And it's Hitler's birthday.
They also were virgins.
That's right.
They never
birthday,
got
Hitler.
They never got laid.
Stop that.
Just like Tim McVeigh. And they were very angry about it.
They're losers.
And Elliot Rogers.
Yeah. It seems, you know, have any of these school shooters
been banged?
Yeah. Any of them?
Oh, I'm sure some have, right?
I'm not so sure. But, you know, if somebody, it seemed to me that the Eric Harris's parents, at a minimum, they're the ones that never talk. By the way, they moved out of there.
Yeah.
Like, we're out of here.
Well, do you blame them?
Not really, but their kid was sketching, you know, these Nazi KKK genocide themed sketches, and he had a journal, and he's, you know, writing about building bombs and all this, and he had pipe bombs he had built in his own basement.
Cool.
And then they bought the sawed off shotguns. I think it was in November of 98, and all this ammo, and they're out shooting guns, taking videos of themselves. Their videos, by the way, were terrible. Horrible.
Mm-hmm.
They did a couple sci-fi movies. Not funny, not interesting, not even close to sci-fi. F. Absolutely an F.
They'd have a podcast today, probably.
They would. They'd have a ton of listeners, too. I don't know. It just seemed that his parents were just very disengaged.
Yeah.
Klebold's mom goes around
speaking. What a shock.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's just weird that... It sounds like in the end, the FBI decided, you know, all their analysis and all that business, that one guy was homicidal and one guy was suicidal.
Yeah.
And Harris was the homicidal one, and he was absolutely a psychopath. In fact, they had his journals, which were describing certain things like
it was a diary.
Oh, diary, whatever. He
A journal sounds like something you want to keep. A diary sounds like he had to get his emotions out.
Yeah, he got caught stealing computer equipment from a car, and he got busted. He got community service, and they said you have to write a letter of apology. And this guy, kid, didn't apologize for
anything. How sincere was that letter?
It was very sincere.
Was it really?
But he wrote the same day, he wrote something in his diary saying, fuck these people, I shouldn't have to write anything I don't mean, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he was really livid about
God.
It.
That's scary. Yeah.
But then the other one, Klebold, you know, who seemed like he was the softer of the two, and certainly Harris is the one that drove him.
Yeah.
They describe him as smiling and laughing and having a ball while he's shooting people.
Hmm.
I mean, just absolutely delighted.
Well, you've seen the video, right?
Yeah.
Them walk. That's so weird.
It is really freaky.
Remember how they would they would randomly pick out the kids underneath the tables and stuff?
Yeah, and they taunt them too.
Yeah. Well, big men, huh?
Yeah. Big men with your guns. Kick your own ass in gear with Death Wish Coffee. Oh, boy. What's the chance of that? The world's strongest coffee. Sorry. This is rocket fuel, everybody, with double the strength of your average brew. Death Wish Coffee will keep you going all day or night, whatever the fuck you're doing during quarantine. Death Wish Coffee is a dark roast blend that has double the amount of caffeine than your average cup of coffee. It's got a smooth, bold. It does have a bold taste. I love coffee, and I like strong coffee. Yeah, I think it's good. Crack a can of cold brew with a smooth, strong taste that packs 300 milligrams of caffeine per can. It's available in ground, death cups, and cold brew and whole bean. Also available in stores throughout the Detroit, Michigan area. And to help up your coffee game, because it's now pretty weak, head to deathwishcoffee.com/Drew and Mike /Drew Mike?
I think it's Drew and Mike.
It says Drew Mike. deathwishcoffee.com/Drew Mike.
There's a link on our page. You can just click on the Death Wish Coffee logo, but I just typed in Drew and Mike.
Did it work?
Use code
Drew15. Okay. Use code Drew15 for 15% off your order. That's deathwishcoffee.com. Drew and Mike. Oh, it's Drew and Mike here.
It's crazy.
Drew15. Drew15 for 15% off. Okay. How's your Facebook?
Nice job! None of you!
304. I think you should have a watch party. Maybe that'll help.
I don't know. I'm not feeling
Matt Jennings party. Testified that he bought some Death Wish coffee and loves it.
All right.
It is legit good.
It is good. So let's see. What else is going on today? We've got 420. We've got Columbine anniversary. I think a lot of people are probably watching the Jordan parts 1 and 2 last night.
So good. I'm surprised at how much I liked it.
Yeah.
Because how much more can you know? It's called The Last Dance, and it's about the 97-98 season, the sixth championship.
How do they get 10 parts out of it? That's what I'm trying to figure out, because I'm in part one, and they've covered a lot of ground. I think it's great. I've enjoyed it, and I love Jordan.
So they filmed. They have tons of – they have all the footage from that whole season. They filmed everything during games, before, after, knowing that it was their last season, because – Jerry Krause, the general manager, wanted to blow out Phil Jackson, to which Jordan says, you blow out Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan's out of here.
So that has got to be the dumbest management move in the history.
We have the footage. I have all the footage.
By a mile.
But
the dumbest.
But it makes for a great documentary, because Jordan hated him. Pippen really hated him.
They made fun of him to his face.
Yeah, and Phil Jackson hated his guts, too.
That was another thing with all this audio and video that they have, is you actually get to see those guys popping off against their general manager, taking shots at him in front of the team and everything.
He was a short, fat kid, and a lot of people felt that he just had to be given credit. And he had to constantly make the point that the organization wins the championship, not the players. Really?
Is he
so
dead?
If you didn't have Michael Jordan, I think he did die.
Okay.
Yeah, 2017?
Okay. Because he's not in the documentary, but Reinsdorf, the owner, is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't figure out why he ever was the Bulls GM. He was a White Sox scout.
Yeah, it made no sense. But it worked. I mean, hey,
it did work.
He did build a championship. He didn't draft Jordan, but he did draft Pippen and traded Oakley. To get, was it Cartwright they got from Oakley?
Yes.
Which was a key
And how
piece.
Funny was that picking Bowie over Jordan?
I
can see Elijah Wan, but.
One of the big problems with Bowie was his health. He was injury prone as hell.
But Portland had Clyde Drexler. Why would you want why would, you know, I know obviously in hindsight you would want Jordan and Drexler, but if you have
pick Bowie, he's all yours.
I'm just saying, hindsight's 2020. I would, you know, I don't have a problem drafting Bowie.
People fuck up the draft all the time.
All the time.
I mean, there's so many people who just flame out. And how do you determine if a guy is, you know, a bona fide early first round pick like Michael Jordan or a Sam Bowie or a, I mean, there's
Darko Milicic.
Who was the guy the Pistons drafted in William Bedford?
Oh, William Bedford.
It was terrible.
Yeah, it was awful.
It's like the eighth pick of the draft, I think.
It's what's Stunk. Funny about that. That draft kind of comes up because Jordan's first injury in his life was the second season. And the interesting thing to me about Michael Jordan is, A, he loves using third person.
Oh, nobody says Michael Jordan more than Michael Jordan.
He did it so much. I don't think anyone in the documentary.
It was right out of the gate when the first quote in that thing is Michael Jordan saying Michael Jordan. I mean, I really laugh. It's like, oh my God, here we go.
He does it a lot more too as it goes on. And he really likes to do it when he's talking about other people. He's like, Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan do this. Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman and Michael Jordan do that.
It's really weird.
Is it in you?
So he gets injured and he's such a competitor. I mean, it's almost cliche to say that about him, that he goes and rehabs on his own in North Carolina. He's not supposed to play basketball, but of course he's playing an hour and a half a day. They're worried about him ruining his foot, this break in his foot, 10% chance his career could be gone.
I have to breaking news here.
What?
He says the Pistons didn't draft Bedford. Did they trade for Bedford?
Let me look it up.
Better be a correct correction.
Oh, that was.
I'm not even. We're not even going to allow Facebook Live anymore.
Was that 86 or 87?
I don't know.
86. The Phoenix Suns drafted him.
Okay. Thanks, T. Actually, just
the Pistons drafted Sally that year.
Okay. Why they traded who for Bedford? I wonder. God, what a terrible trade. Ashley Fletcher is going to graduate in May.
Yay. Whoa.
On May the 9th.
All right.
Yes.
Congratulations, Ash.
Who cares?
Her husband must be shaking his head. He was not buying into that
good
one.
Good for you.
You know who was drafted right after Bedford?
Who?
Royce Harpley. Is this the drug draft?
Wow.
And Len Bias, second overall. Man, those three would have a hell of a party.
What about, was it Michael Ray Richardson who kept getting busted? Roy Tarpley was thrown out of the league. He's the only person that has been thrown out of league. Steve Howe got busted 7 times and still pitched in the major league somehow.
Yeah. But, I mean, I thought Roy Tarpley was the poster boy of...
Yeah, he was.
...of fines and
Why
violations.
Why did they never let him back in? I mean, it seems like they always...
Because he was a mess.
Yeah, but he's supposedly recovered, isn't he?
I don't know. Well, he's dead, but yeah.
Roy Tarpley's dead?
I think so.
Okay.
Oh, boy. If he's not, I just killed him.
Okay, can you please find the Roy Tarpley Wikipedia page, and I will announce that all Zot dealerships, Zot Ford, Zot Chrysler Jeep, Zot Dodge Ram, and Zot Toyota can once again help you purchase a new and pre-loved vehicle. Working within the governor's orders, all showrooms must remain closed, but our friends at Zot Automotive and DealsInTheD.com will be taking care of our listeners over the phone and online. And the best part is once you pick your new wheels out, we'll deliver right to your home or essential business. And they're doing this. I guess Bentley's even delivering some wheels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All this will be done with the intense focus on keeping you and their sales and service team safe with social distancing and complete vehicle disinfecting. Plus, as we mentioned before, all 4 Zot dealership parts, service, and body shops are open, offering full valet pickup and delivery service. So some people aren't open. Take advantage of Zot sales and service departments, as well as free and safe pickup and delivery from our friends at Zot Automotive. And deals in the D.com.
I have great news. I did not kill Roy Tarpley. He died in 2015.
Okay. Did he recover from his issues? The overdose?
Liver failure, so.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's not a recovery, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Who knows?
I mean, you've recovered, but the damage is done already.
Probably with him.
He did live 30 years after he was kicked out of the league, didn't he?
He did
to his credit.
He did play when he was aged 44 for the Michigan Mayhem of the CBA.
What?
Right? Yeah.
Wait, is he one of, you know, it's funny how you see these guys who are still playing. It's like, I can't do anything but play basketball. It's the only thing I can ever do and be of any value to any organization is put the ball in that hoop.
He joins the league. He plays for the Mavericks till 91. Then he's with the Wichita Falls Texans. the Miami Tropics, which isn't that the team from Semi-Pro?
Flint.
Flint. Well, it's the Flint Tropics, but the Miami Tropics. Played for something called Aris, then something Olympiakos, which is a Greek team. Another Greek team
probably
that I can't
pronounce.
Probably
made some money then.
Four more teams that I can't pronounce. Then the Beijing Olympians, the Sioux Falls Skyforce, the Dodge City Legend, and the Michigan Mayhem. Wow, that's weird. Roy Tarpley's career.
Do they talk about his whether he recovered or not? Or
he sued the Mavericks in the NBA, claiming the refusal to reinstate him violated the American with Disabilities Act.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
He had a disability. He liked to do a lot of coke.
They settled.
Most people don't want to do that much coke.
Well, I mean, it's a disease.
Yeah, it's a disease. Love of coke.
Wow. What a crazy career.
So, but did he ever get busted after he was booted out of the league?
Doesn't look like it, but then again, he was moving from country to country to play basketball.
I mentioned Hall Financial and refinancing. If you're anywhere near 4%, please try them if you're going to refinance and save some money. It's smart to refinance. Some people need cash, too. Want to take cash out of your home. That's another reason to call Hall at 248-308-5000. Hall Financial. It's davidhallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike. Or click the link on our webpage, or, again, call 248-308-5000. Hall Financial, lower payments, better options, more personal attention. They're an equal housing lender, and MLS number 1467435. And Adam, they want to talk to you if you're a man facing divorce, and probably more people are facing divorce than there were 3 weeks ago. You might need Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men, because they'll help you. With the biggest concerns, losing your house or your kids. And during the pandemic, Adam is offering a 10% discount to healthcare workers because they know that men working on the front line also may need to get divorced too. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356. Adam.
To wrap up the Jordan thing, the one highlight that really seemed to come out of the first episode was the one I was telling you about. Did you see the hardest I've ever seen Jordan laugh in my life?
Yeah. About the Bulls partying.
Yeah.
His rookie year.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for, if I can find it. Did you notice Jordan?
Next week's episode, we get to see a lot of the Detroit Pistons. We get to see the battle with the Bad Boys. So that's going to be cool. I know we saw a bunch of it with the 30 for 30, but this will be good.
I think that's one of the reasons I don't mind these Bulls is because the Pistons did, you know, they were the roadblock for a long time. You know, for Jordan, he couldn't get by him.
Well, Pippen had the migraine the 1 year in game 7.
Yeah, it wouldn't matter.
Pretty big deal.
Yeah. Don't ruin my team.
A lot of people thought he was a bit of a choker.
That's another interesting thing, because this isn't all about Jordan. There's a lot of Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman in here. I didn't realize what a terrible, terrible contract Scottie Pippen had. He signed a contract in 1991. For 8 years, $17 million, and the league exploded after he signed it, so the shares went way up. He was the 122nd highest paid player in the league.
Jesus.
Going into that last season, and yet he was easily one of the top six players in the league.
One of the top all-time players.
he was good. He's so underrated.
He and Jordan were so funny. They were incredibly competitive, and this wasn't in – I didn't see this last night, but – this whole business of Jordan flying everyone in helicopters, and I think I read the story on the air back in the Rift days when Pippen said, I got to have a helicopter, just like Michael Jordan. And so his agent was like, or no, a plane. It was a private plane. It wasn't a helicopter. And the agent said, yeah, really expensive, man. I mean, you got to rent it out. I'm not going to rent it out. I need it for me. And then eventually it got really expensive. And so I was like, hey, this thing is too expensive, man. How can I minimize it? Well, we could rent it out to let other people use it. And so they started doing that. And then eventually this thing was just such an albatross financially that Pippen fired his agent over it.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you should have talked me out of it.
His agent.
Like, I wanted to talk you out of it. And Jordan was also apparently envious of Pippen because Pippen was hung like a forearm, according to a story I read. And
Jordan wasn't.
Did you know Pippen was nailing Madonna?
Really?
I didn't know that. That's what the story said. It said that Madonna would pick up Scottie Pippen in a limousine when they were in California.
At this point, who hasn't she nailed?
Yeah, she was also banging Rodman.
Yeah, but she has a type.
Yeah.
Black?
No.
She does like black guys.
Scotty and Dennis both sort of looked, I don't know, they were really similar.
Black?
According to the story, Jordan said something about how, you know, hey, I could make you happier than Scotty, to which she said, oh, no, you can't.
Wow, really?
I thought that was kind of...
That's pretty cool.
Sounds like Madonna.
Here's that Jordan part.
You know, it was a clean program.
Talk about North Carolina.
It prepared me to go into the Chicago situation, which was totally different.
Notice the glass of whiskey he has next to him?
Before Michael Jordan got to the Bulls in 1984, drugs were prevalent. Cocaine, recreational drugs of all types. So he had a lot of partiers.
One of the articles I read, they called it the Bulls Traveling Cocaine Circus.
Where's the guy asking the question, by the way?
Five rooms over?
I've never read that. Article.
Wasn't that funny, Michael? Artie's laughing.
Look, guys were doing things that I didn't see. I had one event.
Fake.
Preseason, I think we were in Peoria. It's in a hotel. So I'm trying to find my teammates. So I start knocking on doors.
Gatorade.
I get to this one door, and I knock on the door, and I can hear someone says, shh. Someone's outside. And then you hear this deep voice says, who is it? I says, MJ. And then they all say, oh, Michael fuck, Jackson? He's just a rookie. Don't worry about it. So they open up the door. I walk in and practically the whole team was in there. And it was like things I've never seen in my life, you know, as a young kid.
What does that mean?
You got your lines over here. You got your weed smokers over here. You got your women over here. So the first thing I said, look, man. You know, I'm out, you know, because all I can think about, if they come and raid this place right about now, I am just as guilty as everybody else that's in this room.
Except you're Michael Jordan, so nobody's
in trouble.
From that
point on, you know, I was more or less on my own.
Buzzkill!
On my own.
Isn't that weird? That the whole team's in there. I like that they segregated the room into a weed section.
Yeah, they sectioned it off.
Yeah, I'm surprised they weren't all in the hooker
on
section.
On my own.
It's a really...
Why did it end this way?
Really good documentary.
Yeah, I got to watch part two tonight.
And they're doing them both. I don't know why they're releasing them all on Sundays. It's kind of annoying, but whatever.
Every day's the same to me, honestly.
I know, so release them one every night.
I woke up today. Yeah, that'd be nice. They are dragging it out. I woke up today and I was like, it's Saturday. I think it's Saturday. And I was like, no, it's only Monday. Fuck. Not that it's a big deal. I mean, I don't know. The Groundhog's Day thing is really starting to sink in.
Really? I'm sending the kids over then.
No, thanks. It just seems like, I mean, every day's the same. How can it not be?
I have kids, so it's every day is very different. Every day's an adventure. They'd stop by today. They were so excited.
They get to come to the studio?
Well, Julie dropped something off. I met her out on the street. And boy, those two were just so excited. It's like, hey, it's sunny out. We don't care. We don't know what a coronavirus is. Let's go play. It's like, all right. Lucky.
Hey, did you hear that Mark Zuckerberg is going to track illness hotspots by having people report symptoms on Facebook?
What?
I know.
Is this because Apple and Google did something together, so he's got to butt in?
I guess so.
Oh, what a loser.
So, yeah, he was promoting that today.
Yeah, because people are going to trust Facebook with tracking them more than...
You know what else he's done? They have shut down anti-quarantine protest pages at the request of state governors.
Really?
I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is very interesting.
Not sure that everybody's going to agree with that, but...
Well,
everybody hates Zuckerberg eventually, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's the only end point.
That's okay.
And who's the number one tennis player? Novak Djokovic?
Yeah, Joki Djokovic.
Yeah, he's an anti-vaxxer.
Big time, yeah.
Says he will not take the coronavirus vaccine and come up with it.
Don't take it, Djokovic. Whatever, I don't care. Go get coronavirus. He'll live through it.
Why does he need us to know this, by the way?
Because
why did he need to tell us this?
Because there's been talk that the only way they play Wimbledon or any of the big events is if they test everybody or if they have the vaccine. And he's like, I'm not taking the vaccine. Oh, nice one, Trudy.
Sorry.
Now,
play then, asshole.
There was a big story, though.
Do you think he's going to become autistic if he gets the vaccine? He's going to suddenly be autistic?
I don't know. That's a great point. What does he have to fear?
I don't know. I just thought it was so dumb. It's like, you know, this is when I go, oh, boy, it's too bad people have a voice all the time, 24-7, 365, because some people are just bound to say something absolutely dumb. And so now Novak Djokovic, who I thought, you know, really respects as a tennis player, now to me is just an idiot. I mean, just a total idiot. He's like Aubrey First Huff. He's the Aubrey First Huff of tennis. I mean, Aubrey Huff, I always thought Aubrey Huff was just a good guy that was a pretty good player.
I think he's just leaning into the hate, though. I think he's just doubling down on everything.
He's a dick, though. He's just, I think he likes being a dick.
That's what I mean, yeah. Now, there was a story on CNN about how a lot of anti-vaxxers are changing their mind because of the coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah. You're not allowed to do that.
I know, you're not allowed to think over.
You can't have our vaccine!
And they have, I mean, a lot of this is anecdotal, but they have a lot of stories in the article of people that are like, I've seen so many people die and get sick from this that I think we would take the vaccine for coronavirus, which is
COVID-19!
COVID-19!
Why is it that some people who are were really big in the anti-vax thing, all of a sudden they really don't say much, and in fact you don't even see much about them? Like, you know, if you look up anti-vaxxers, Jenny McCarthy's not one of the first people that comes up.
Well, she's reformed now, right?
I don't think she's completely reformed. I think she says that I'm about choice. I think she has some sort of new angle that she's playing. Jim Carrey is supposedly a big anti-vaxxer. How often do you hear about that?
Is he still?
I don't know. That's what the impression I got.
Huh.
I don't think he's ever said, oh my God, was I off my ass? Which is, to me, anybody who was or is an anti-vaxxer should at some point say, I was off my ass. I'm sorry. Hmm. You know, stick me.
So. I don't think that's ever going to happen, though. People don't really have to apologize once they say stupid things anymore.
The anti-vax movement just proves that there's nothing, absolutely nothing we agree on anymore.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing.
So.
And I mean, just mean a couple guys. I mean, there's always a couple assholes or dumbasses. But I mean, it's like there's always the 5 or 10%. It doesn't matter. You can show them a video of something. No, that didn't happen.
So Michael Jordan and the documentary got us kicked off Facebook. Even though we attributed it correctly and were a news organization, it booted us for copyright.
Are you sure it wasn't talking about Zuckerberg?
Columbine? Maybe it was talking about Zuckerberg. No, but playing that clip got us booted.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to start over?
No, that's okay. Cause we were, how long were we on Facebook? 35 minutes.
I thought we were on a good amount of time. Yeah. Probably.
Jackson.
Probably. Yeah. Probably close to a Jackson.
Okay. Oh, Jackson will have to be. We'll do another one more.
There's a great Dr. Phil. We need to play clips from today.
Oh yeah. Was that already aired?
It's airing right now and it just looks awesome.
Oh, I can't wait. It's a COVID-19 teen rebellion.
It's quarantining. where's the description?
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited about this.
Gina and Desi say the rebellious 14-year-old has faked COVID-19 symptoms to get released from an inpatient treatment facility. It's on Dr. Phil, or as John Oliver called him, not a Dr. Phil.
You know, why was he on? Was he on Fox News talking about the coronavirus?
Yep.
There's as many cars, 360,000 car accidents this year. It's actually 3,600.
Yeah, and Oliver corrected all of his numbers because all of his numbers were wrong.
But he's not
the swimming pool numbers that were they like 600,000?
I thought it was like 300. He said a Cleveland, so the size of something like Cleveland.
That's right. Yeah.
Which
he's not a medical doctor.
Cleveland. I
mean, for him to be an expert on the coronavirus on any network is ridiculous.
He's as much of a doctor as Dr. Dre is, really, because he doesn't have a, he doesn't have a license to practice psychiatry either.
True, do you want to take care of Dr. Roche?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're still consulting people. They're trying to make you hotter.
Like a week or so left of April specials, but they have specials that they can consult you on for future butt lifts, breast lifts,
nice,
all kinds of procedures. They can do consults for you and facial surgery. But the thing they're really excited about now is Evolve, which is one of their newest lasers, basically, or non-invasive, non-surgical body contouring, skin tightening radio frequency for fat reduction, cellulite reduction, and skin tightening, all those things. And it's non-invasive, so it's not something you're going to have to take off work for or sit it out for a while. It's something that helps over a series of treatments. Maybe take off all of that slab that you gained your coronavirus, 15? Is it more like 25 now, though?
Probably, as the time goes on. It's going to get more and more and more.
Right. Also, they've got 360 lipo. Anyway, he's an expert at contouring. He actually studied the, you know, movie, the people who do the sort of the movie modeling. He studied with them for laser and digital contouring. And you can consult with them right now, as a matter of fact, during business hours, office hours, at 248-338-1110, or go to their website, droche.com. You can see all the procedures. And also, you can order some of their medical-grade skincare or their CBD products. All of those are now 10% off the month of April. So that's Dr. Roche.
Beautiful.
Doing good stuff.
Yeah, I wanted to repeat again that it is 420. So happy 420 from Grow Green, Michigan. And once again, they're giving away their new Grow Green During Quarantine t-shirts to every in-store and curbside pickup customer today. If you're listening to this tomorrow, you just got to go see what they have. Then go to growgreenmi.com. They have everything for you, everything that you need for your lawn and your home garden. They also do more than just cannabis. So if you want to grow some plants to eat.
I do.
I guess while you're high, get high and go eat your own garden.
I got a lot done yesterday while I was high. So
did you really? What'd you get done?
I refinished part of my table.
While you were high, I bet you that looks wonderful.
That and tequila. that together.
Wait, what did you do? You fixed the table? You finished the table?
Yeah, I got a hand sander out and I sanded it down and then I restained it. And now let's see what else. I steamed the entire house.
What?
And
what do you mean you steamed the floors?
And I assembled my lawn chairs.
Oh my God. You're getting so much stuff done.
I know. I got a whirlwind of stuff done yesterday. Thank you.
Drew had a tweet where he's all mad at anybody that's cleaning out their garage or doing any kind of home repair type stuff because he's not.
Oh, right.
And all I can think of
But he wouldn't ordinarily anyway.
No, that was my point. He's not doing anything. I guess maybe that was his point as well. The last like 4 Saturdays, I've tried to clean out my garage, and for some reason, it just never happens. There's two
so
distracting.
I've been cleaning out the basement, and trying to make way for the gym. And Zeus points out that you have to be respectful of the trash man limits because the waste management people can't take a whole heap of shit out of everybody's house.
He's got a point.
Go ahead, toss everything.
Seriously?
Yeah, but they actually are keeping up a semblance of normalcy, so they're doing a good job at that.
I feel actually kind of bad for them. Think of all the COVID-19 stuff they're touching when they take out your garbage. That's just it's gross.
I know. They're heroes, actually, that nobody ever really looks at. Where were they in the concert together at home? Or what is
COVID-19!
COVID-19!
One world together.
One world together at home, right. Where were the salutes to the waste management people?
Nobody cares about them. It's a shame.
It's
a darn shame. Do you want to do Dr. Phil, Drew, or do you want to do the brand new episode of Joe Biden's Here's the Deal?
I kind of like Dr. Phil first.
Okay.
Because I'm really excited about it. But I want to ask a question because, you know, this has been, it's on my mind. I think the answer's obvious, but I just want to see if everyone agrees with this. Am I correct in thinking that everyone who wants to, you know, go back to work today, go ride their boat today, just do whatever you want now, is a Republican, and everyone who's against all that is a Democrat?
No.
Absolutely not.
No? Does it seem that way?
Huh.
Now this is the problem with the rally / protest or whatever you want to call it. I agree with some things being reopened. I agree with some of that platform. I would never go to that rally because of the circus that it became. You know what I mean?
No, I
not that I would ever go to a rally anyway, but it kind of, I think, hurts that cause because that's what it turns into, is an anti-Whitmer, pro-Trump
rally. Yeah, and the other side, if it's a side, I mean, we're all in this together, but it seems like we're not. We're not.
No, we're not. No, we're not. I'm sick of hearing that. We're not.
No.
It's absolute lunacy. We should all be in this together.
Yeah, that's what it should be called. Yeah.
You know, I read so much about what people have to say about this, and most people say relatively the same thing. There are a lot of outliers, and so I'm interested in the other side, you know, which is this is overblown versus, you know, everybody's got to stay home for, you know, in Chicago. I know Evan goes back to work July 1st.
Yeah.
July 1st. I mean, that's incredible.
Are you surprised by that? I'm not surprised by that at all.
Yeah, I'm. It's a long time to just take 3 months off, you know, and probably.
You think he should go back sooner?
I kind of thought he would.
But he can work from home, can't he?
Well, not completely, but I think he gets a lot done at home. And I think, you know, a lot of my view probably comes from being a small business and just seeing how damaging it is because it's just, I mean, to just have no revenue and lose all your, you know, your big months and et cetera, it just seems like, oh, my God, people have to be just, there have to be businesses just failing, I mean, in huge numbers, and they are. In fact,
just stay good at what you're doing, which is, I guess, being poor.
Matt sent me something today. He's so pissed, and a lot of people are too, about the small business loans.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think we may have gotten ours. It sounds like we may have, but.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Ruth Chris Steak and is it Chipotle that
Shake
got
Shack?
It?
Shake Shack's
Shake,
returning.
No, Shake Shack gave it back.
Those are giant companies.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Chipotle?
Potbelly, maybe?
Yeah, Potbelly.
Oh, Potbelly.
I'm sorry,
yeah.
Chipotle.
You guys are doing a wonderful job. Now they get rid of all the diarrhea causing scandal. Remember that whole scandal with Chipotle?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was cool that Shake Shack was like, no, we got this $10 million and then we looked at everybody else who were high and dry and we gave it back.
But it's bullshit anyway.
Why did they apply? Why would they have ever applied for that? That's insane.
It was specifically.
They claim they misunderstood it, but.
Oh.
I don't believe that for a second.
I kind of admire that play.
I think they knew they were getting their ass handed to them.
Well, it's wrong anyway. They shouldn't have been approved because it's supposed to be for companies with under 500 employees.
I bet you there's 1,000 other companies that are way too big for this thing that we'll learn about eventually.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I so wanted a Shake Shack burger today, though, when I read about that.
I know, I kind of do, too. It's good advertising for them.
Yeah, it did
sound.
They're
downtown.
A shake sounds fantastic, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really does.
Oh, God.
Especially without COVID-19.
A really thick vanilla shake.
Hot. Would
be so good. Ooh. Oh, man.
So what a Ruth Chris's steak, now that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
That's a $100 steak.
I think you're right. It probably is good advertising. I haven't thought about either place in a long time, and it brought them to my attention.
You're hungry for it.
And it's not the guy's fault who's making the shake right now.
No.
He didn't decide to apply for the loan, so I would definitely get one.
No.
That's making me like
I was this close finger on the button to having it Grubhub to me in the studio.
I'm like the gay people going to Chick-fil-A. I'm livid.
Yeah, but there's
but time. I still want to go there.
I know. I think it's ridiculous that they even filed, but then that they got approved. But that just means they're kind of rubber stamping everything.
They snuck that in at the last minute, too. So somebody, they're somebody's constituents, right? Because somebody got that in right at the last second on that bill.
But it's a violation, though, of what they signed up for, the PPP loans.
How could, isn't there a little line where you put the number of employees that your company has and it would just quickly eliminate them?
I would assume so.
Duh.
Maybe we're just going on in the honor system here.
Well, let's take a look at Dr. Phil. This is something very relatable. People with kids at home who are harassing you during the COVID-19 period. These are extreme examples, and I know we're all going to
think we're going to learn a lot.
Empathetic.
These past few weeks about the challenges of staying safe and not panicking during the COVID-19 outbreak.
Thanks for listening to the podcast.
What can be more nerve-wracking than having a rebellious teen defy the rules you place at home?
Nothing.
That are meant to protect them.
Watching your show?
Gina and her husband Desi sent me this video to show me what their 14-year-old daughter Taylor looked like 2 years ago. And then describe to me about her rebellious and destructive behavior.
Yeah, we got it.
Now.
Yeah, we got it. Go, roll the tape.
My name is Gina. This is Desi, my husband. This is our baby girl, Taylor.
Oh, she's so cute.
That's not what Taylor looks like today. And we really need
tatted
your help
up
because she is in a very bad place.
She's doing drugs. She's drinking.
Wait, what is in her mouth there?
They blur it out, but it's a
giant blunt.
It's a Snapchat of either a blunt or a vape pen, and she's hitting both at the same time, and it just says "Stoner Life."
Take me off.
Everybody,
she's cutting herself.
Her hair's pink and black.
We had
she's cutting herself. Yikes!
Almost like a prison with cameras and alarms. We just don't even feel safe in our own house.
We just don't know what to do anymore.
Oh, she's a straight-A student, Dr. Phil. She has a photographic memory. The girl's so smart, and anything she puts her mind to,
we'll decide how smart she is. Thank you.
I just don't want her to
go back to beating up your mom on Dr. Phil.
Why do they have to tell us how smart she is? She has a photographic memory.
Well, yeah, to show that she's worth saving.
I'd rather she was dumb, honestly, because then I think you could find some way to outsmart her.
Join us from their home in California. Both say they're extremely worried about Gina's 14-year-old daughter, Taylor, who refuses to stay home during this deadly pandemic.
Oh, they had to point out that it's not his daughter. It's not his genes.
Thank you for fighting.
Is the pink hair? Is there no way to tell your kid not to have half pink hair?
Not when dad's got that sweet beard.
But I wanted to talk to you because I think this is important for a lot of families to hear, not just you guys.
Oh, my God, he does talk so slow, Trudy.
What happens when you tell Taylor, stay home, it's not safe out there?
She just says no. Just flat out no.
Okay. Now, Desi, you're the stepdad, and you've been involved here how many years?
He's such a passenger. He is a total passenger.
Last January.
Okay, so you're pretty new to this. She was.
I wish I had a father.
Yeah, strap in, buddy.
Gee, what do you think was a trigger for Taylor, do you think?
It's very, very difficult for you to be a disciplinarian here because.
Yeah, just forget it. Just be a passenger.
Once they get say,
yep, good point. See you later. And just leave.
Just keep reminding everyone it's not your kid.
Mother's husband.
Focus on that.
And that makes it very difficult for you to be the primary disciplinarian here. What you can do is support Gina in what
she's doing. He looks shell-shocked, by the way.
It's hard for you to be the primary.
Or that he's going to fall asleep because Phil's taking forever to make his point.
Okay, now
he was shell-shocked.
You say she just says no.
Slow down.
When I hear that, that doesn't fit in my ear very well because that's just not an option. I mean, I don't understand.
Okay, why don't you come and take his place at the house, Dr. Phil?
Determining what's done and what's not.
Get to the point.
How did she get control of this situation?
Maybe I'm not as strict as I should be. I mean, the other night when we were on the phone and she was out seeing her boyfriend, I said, you need to come home now. And she just said, no.
Wait, why is she seeing her boyfriend?
Because she says no, Drew. She does what she wants.
And they go find her and bring her home, but there's nothing that they really end up doing. So I tried punishing her. I put her on restriction. She gets very belligerent and throws temper tantrums and
drama wins.
Hits doors and kicks holes in the wall and throws herself down and hits her head against the wall threatens to cut herself or hang herself in the bathroom. She's very, very dramatic. And
that's scary. That's
sometimes scary. I think I try and control that because it starts to control us.
Yeah, it's going to win every time.
I was
time.
Looking at the pictures that you were kind enough to share with us.
You take forever to say nothing.
Two different girls between the age of 12.
She looks like the biggest slut, by the way.
But who cares about her visual transformation? Well, it really matters.
Says something. I don't know what.
I think it's pictures.
Did
for
God
Dr.
had
Phil.
To give her Mondo boobs too? I mean, that just makes it worse.
She probably saw Danielle Bregoli from Dr. Phil and decided that's what she wants to be. So it's your fault, Dr.
The timing is about the same.
Yeah. I'm going to speed forward to see if there's another kid.
I hope this kid makes an appearance because she's going to be the next rap star if she does.
Yeah.
I think they
there she is. There she is.
I was going to say.
There's the next star.
Thank you.
I think they asked her and she said no.
And her husband, Desi, say 14-year-old Taylor has experimented with drugs.
By the way, Taylor will be live from their bathroom while they're in the kitchen. She's in a different location.
How about that?
COVID-19. Don't you love that she's on Instagram smoking pot? Isn't that a great idea for a 14-year-old?
They bolted down Taylor's bedroom window, installed a home alarm system to monitor her whereabouts.
Oh, Jesus.
Taylor sent a video where she says she does normal things that a normal rebellious teenager would do.
Hi, Dr. Phil. I personally believe that this whole situation is I think my mom's crazy. I do normal things that a normal rebellious teenager would do. I've snuck out of the house. I've smoked weed. I've drank. I skipped some school days without it being verified. And she's screaming at me and trying to send me away. And so I don't think that's okay. But here I am making a video for you.
Well, now, I have questions about what's called
normal. If I was the mom, I'd kill myself first. I really would.
How much money do you think mom and dad give her?
I'm frightened. $100 a month?
I mean, I don't know. I just don't you expect to hear that
they give her a big
allowance?
I bet she gets $50 a week or something.
They need to lighten up, right?
Yeah.
So tell me what you mean by that.
I mean, like, a lot of the kids that I know or a lot of, like, the teenagers that I, like, am around do, like, the same things that I do, but, like, don't get as much, like, punishment or aren't as, like, controlled by their parents.
He's in the
light. Yeah, you're strict.
The question that you had for me was, how can I get my parents to trust and believe that I'm actually trying to do better and will do better, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. I tried really hard.
Tell me, what do you think I mean when I say the term emotional integrity?
What are you talking about?
What does that mean?
Being, like, emotionally honest and, like, being true.
Like when I say I'm going to kill myself?
Yeah. Hey, I guess she's not so smart, huh?
So if if someone says, hey, I won't
her mind never
go
photographed
do
it.
This anymore. I won't go do that anymore. And then a week goes by and they don't do it. They said they won't
what
and they don't.
Slow down.
Then they build trust. But if they say they won't
get
and
to
then
the
they
point.
Do, then
if she
they
can answer
violate
this, then she's
trust,
a lot slower
right?
than her parents think.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Nice answer.
When you're told that you can't do something that you want to do, your mother says that you just completely melt down, throw a tantrum, beat your head against the wall, threaten to kill yourself.
He talks so slow you can finish the sentence before he does.
Just go into all kinds of dramatic animated behavior. True or false?
That is true, yeah.
This is a fascinating interview, too.
How exactly does that suggest that you're mature enough to be trusted to make good decisions? You don't handle no very well.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes.
I've never handled like no very well. I've always like acted like that, and it's almost like become kind of a habit for me. And like, it's really, really hard for me to like stay calm when they like tell me no or say like yell at me or like reprimand me. I get like really upset.
You're a spoiled bitch.
And it's just like
bitch.
I've fallen into that habit.
Right.
Wow.
And
yeah, my
you
way
recently
the
faked having COVID-19 to get out of
the
academy,
I run the house.
Right?
Yeah.
COVID-19!
And so does that indicate emotional integrity?
Oh, Phil.
No.
COVID-19.
I mean, so you're asking me how to get them to trust you, and I'm asking you what do
she
I have
need to
work
trust
with
them? What did they do that? What is untrustworthy
listen,
of them?
The
what the fuck did they do wrong?
I've ever met, and I want you to have all the
said
freedom
no.
that you can.
Isn't it fun to watch Phil meet his intellectual
help me
equal?
Help here. I'm trying to figure out what argument I can make to your mother here when.
Ugh. Oh, God.
You're faking
Phil,
COVID-19.
A question takes like 5 to 7 seconds.
And have you done
the fuck
cocaine,
are you talking about?
Acid, and marijuana?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did that rambling question end
why
up?
Did you just ask that?
That rambling question just ended up with that question.
And you drink.
Don't act like you don't know about drugs when you do.
You threaten to hurt yourself and your
Buzz
mother.
Kill.
I mean, give me something to work with here. What
give
do you,
me more
what
than a one-word answer.
Give me an argument I can make.
I wish I had a father.
The last like few weeks, I've been trying like really hard, like way harder than I've been trying to like act correctly and like just make improvements in my behavior, but I still like haven't been up to like
the standard.
All right, she's already lost me. She's not going to be the next bad baby. She is no Danielle Bregoli.
She
is. Danielle Bregoli is quick on her feet.
I knew Danielle Bregoli. And you, ma'am, are
no Danielle Bregoli.
Willing to change.
Well, it's a two-way street.
She looks ridiculous, doesn't she?
Yeah,
I mean, ridiculous.
Half her hair is pink. The other side is like dark purple.
With some gray streaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she should try to show off some sort of intellectual, like, you know, flex. Her mom boasted that she was really smart, so let's see some of it.
Yeah. Well, she's bored to death talking to Phil.
Everybody, isn't everybody's kid smart? Come on.
And keeps throwing it away. But does Taylor believe that she has everything that she needs to be happy and successful? Or does she think she's really being held back? We're going to talk about that after.
Looks like your dad's going to get balls deep in your mom tonight.
That's what Phil should have said to her. I would have got her going.
Oh, God, that beast.
I don't know. Is there anything else you want to see from this idiot? I
mean,
Phil's not really giving us much.
Yeah, we need some highlights, for Christ's sake.
I know. I guess they can't do video montages of her going ape shit.
Yeah, where's that? That's a standard part of this kind of program.
Well, that's what happens in quarantine, I guess.
Wait, the parents are talking to the brat now. That might be semi-interesting. The kid's just putting on an act, isn't she?
Yes,
true.
Trust me. Dude, ever since Danielle Bregoli, he's been having on these random wild childs because they all see that Bad Baby is now rich and famous, and they want to do the same thing. They want to copycat that shit.
And I'll watch it anytime they're on, too.
Me too.
I'm complicit. Absolutely.
I'm in. 100%.
Here we go. Let's see what we're at here.
Sneaking out of the house for 2 weeks.
Looks like your dad's going to get balls deep in your mom tonight.
Your window and to install a security camera. To where if you go down the stairs, the whole house goes up with an alarm. That's not normal to me. I love that little girl so much.
Hey!
I love her so much. And
I don't think he loves the girl that much.
Spiraling down a road that's going to be hard to come back.
I should be back in school.
I just think, like, in all honesty, that just, like, I don't know. Sometimes I think you say things and, like, that I don't think you have the right to say. You've been around for like a year. I've lived with my mother for 14.
Yeah, you're not my dad.
Taylor, do you resent Desi being there?
Sometimes, yeah. I just feel like,
why is this kid on equal ground with these adults? Why?
But it's just like, it hits really hard sometimes.
Gina, what do you think about what she's saying?
Well, she doesn't listen to me. And when he intervenes,
I think he needs to go.
It's for the best
for himself. I mean, his own decision.
Oh, he's so out of the
door. Be a little tougher on her than I am because I'm afraid,
Daddy.
But then she gets resentful of him.
You gotta stop cock blocking your mom.
I think that's just an excuse. She's resentful of him. That's just bullshit.
Only given her 2 weeks
restriction. Well, I think she's. Maybe.
She knows it works. She knows it has.
She knows it works now. But don't you think it started a little rebellious streak because of that guy showing up?
Maybe. But that's just an excuse.
A little stricter with her because I'm afraid.
I know. She's not the only person that has a stepdad or a mom.
You are not the
mom that has a boyfriend, right?
He seems like a nice guy. I mean,
I guess mom do knows best.
Suspect.
I mean, the holes in the wall and the suicide, the fake suicide.
I murder her. Open all the wall.
Hear the answer right after the break.
No.
Oh, okay. No,
thanks. I just want to, like, be a father.
Wow, what a disaster.
Ugh, what misery.
Nice claiming she faked COVID-19 just to have an angle right now, by the way. I don't know if I believe that she did.
Hey, COVID-19.
That's what they said. I don't believe it.
Well, if it got her on the show, then I think it was worth it.
I think the only thing I really got out of it is that...
Looks like your dad's going to get balls deep in your mom tonight.
The only thing I got out of it, that guy's nailing that lady all over that house.
She is hot.
That's probably what the hole in the walls are for him.
You got to stop cock blocking your mom.
If the mom wasn't that hot, he would be so out of there.
Yeah, she's pretty.
She's very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's trying to weigh his penis telling him to stay versus his brain telling him, get out!
Well, he's gotta
get the fuck out!
He's got to stay now. It's quarantine. The second he's allowed to leave the house.
You know, being quarantined with that brat.
He's so out of there the second that Lynn's
I love this idea of trying to reason with her. Well, tell us what's wrong. Tell us what you think the problem is.
Okay, bye.
She's bashing holes in the wall, claiming she can commit suicide, cutting herself. Her hair's, you know, pink and gray and black. It's like it's down the middle, like pink one side, black the other side. She's got this giant nose ring. She's got all this makeup. What are those long eyelashes? Didn't they look kind of ridiculous?
Yeah,
I mean, she looks really like a total whore.
Yeah. She doesn't look the stereotypical 14-year-old.
So would you apply the sort of the Drew sequester the daughter away from makeup for 2 weeks treatment for her?
I think jail would be good for her. I do. Yeah.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Another teenager making a terrible life choice.
If I were Dr. Phil, though, I would come back and I'd say, you know what? This is hopeless. This is never going to... All three of you are going to be miserable for the next 5 years. Miserable.
My God, he's taking forever to ask the next question.
I know. Oh, forget him.
Yeah.
Ding dong. All right.
Dude. Ugh. Anyway.
So Joe Biden has his new podcast?
Yeah. I gotta tell you, he must be listening to our podcast because I think he's hired someone to fix it.
Oh.
Has anybody else heard his podcast today?
I have not heard.
Are you excited to know who his guest is?
Oh, of course I am.
Bernie?
Amy Klobuchar.
Oh, Kloby.
That's exciting.
I got to say, it's probably the best guest that he's ever had.
Really? Is the show better?
The show is better. You'll notice right off the bat here.
Really?
Yeah, that the music isn't as loud as it has been.
Gooby!
You can actually hear him over it.
Hey, folks, it's Joe, and we're listening to Here's the Deal. I'm sitting here.
See, not so bad, right?
Right.
But I'm excited to bring you our...
Where's Hunter?
I mean, I'm already bored by him, but...
This week is Senator Amy Klobuchar. She's a great friend. Amy is a senator who's been a talented leader from the moment she got to the Senate.
So his intro is only 29 seconds, which I think...
They edited shit out. They must have edited shit.
100%. They have the music bed. But then when he brings her on... You know, this whoever's editing it just had a hell of a time because there's still a lot of talking over each other when he introduces her.
It's miserable. Editing is terrible.
Mine in the Senate. She's a friend, and I'd like to welcome Senator Klobuchar to the show. Welcome, Amy. It's good to see
you.
Does you ever think we'd be doing this? I mean, we got television studios in our libraries and basements here. So.
No.
Look,
here we are.
Because we all have libraries at home.
A friend or a relative affected by COVID-19, but it's been very personal for you. Can you tell us about how it's affected your family?
So she goes on just to ramble forever because, you know, her husband tested positive.
Oh, how exciting.
But here's another. I know. She goes on.
I can't wait to hear about that. I can't wait.
Which. I noticed in this, I listened to the whole thing. By the way, it's only 19 minutes and 47 seconds where the two previous ones were both 48 minutes and 46 minutes. So, you know.
So they're trying to torture the people that have to listen to it less.
They just, you know, they took a blade to it like crazy.
I want to hear Biden pretend he's interested in her talking about her husband's COVID-19.
Their wife or their mother or their father who is an extremis and just saying goodbye.
Well, what you're going to hear here is that he's been talking so long, whoever edited just said enough. And ended it on a statement where she just starts talking. There's no question or anything.
We've been sort of absent in terms of the testing. This whole kind of, I mean, the idea that all the things the president said about it is not necessary. As I was walking down to do this, the television was on, and there was a quote from Trump saying, well, the governor's got to do the testing. The governors have to do the testing. I mean, my Lord, I don't know what he needs. I mean, the idea that we haven't made the kind of effort that we can make and should be making. You know, he has
can
the ability,
you believe it?
As you know, under the wartime legislation, quote unquote.
I mean, I was there when we were in this last downturn.
Did you hear it?
It was pretty abrupt.
It was a very abrupt edit there.
But I credit the guy who chopped it.
Oh, why?
He just decided to lump at it.
I mean, he could have done it about 2 minutes earlier, really.
Well, there's two ways to edit. One way to edit is to take out really unimportant, insignificant things like, you know, tangents and stuff. And the other way is just to lump at it, which Zip was a big lump editor. Zip would just go, it's 20 minutes. It needs to be 10. I'll just cut 10 minutes out of the middle, attach this answer to this question, and hey, it all works.
Let's see if he's. Whoa. Let's see if he's got.
But it wouldn't be the best. It wouldn't be the best 10 minutes. That was the only problem.
Let's see if he got. If Joe's learned transitions a little better. Let's see.
Complaining about it, you actually get involved, which is what's happening. I hope right now in our election coming up, we certainly saw.
I do too.
Years ago, boring. People actually act.
I think they are. And now it's time for questions from our listeners. And the first question is from Sylvie in Los Angeles.
Isn't that just terrible? I want to hear that again.
Certainly saw
I do too. I think it is.
People actually act.
I think they are. And now it's time for questions from our listeners.
The inflection's totally different. And plus, when you hear the music, you know there's an edit coming.
Klobuchar, what was the hardest thing for you to manage on a personal level when you got to the Senate?
That's hard hitting.
I mean, there was the balancing of your family. That was a harder thing for me.
Who would ever ask this question?
They're getting a stooge, right? I mean,
yeah, somebody on her staff or his staff.
Someone who's at the Whitmer press conference.
Possibly. There could be moonlighting.
They're into their mailbag, as you called it, Brandon. 11 minutes into the podcast, which means they have nothing to say to each other at all. So she rambles on. I think there's another question about working with the other side. And I noticed in this that Biden likes to top whatever she says with his own story. Not the sign of the best listener, but here's
boring.
And then he would always say, no. Senator Klobuchar is the lead Democrat on this.
Talking about John McCain.
She will go next. Yeah. And that personal moment where he basically gave me that gravitas to say,
get over yourself.
She's a
gravitas
leader.
Gravitas this.
She may be a woman and everyone else in this room is a man, but she is the leader on this trip. From her political party.
By the way, I don't take no orders from no women.
That's probably what McCain said behind closed doors. Don't listen to that broad. We're in charge here.
Professional.
I don't listen to women yelling. I tell them to shut up.
See that and to be able to have that role model. And so for me, friendships like that helped me get through what, for me, being from Minnesota, not having been in the Congress before, was kind of a
he wouldn't help you move, Amy. Sorry.
To get out there where people were playing politics with a lot of things. And it really helped me to be a better senator.
Well, John, I knew John well, and as you know, and he had great respect
asked?
For you.
I mean,
he
no
really
one
did. And
this is
but
great
that's
line.
Also John had a value set that was like yours. He had a value set. He was decent and honorable. We'd argue like hell, he and I. Holler at each other. We traveled all over the world together. But, but at the end of the day, it was we were friends.
He used to say,
you've never seen a problem you don't think you can solve. And I'd say, you never saw a war you didn't want to fight. And we'd go through all of that.
All I hear coming out of your mouth is blah, 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 blah. I don't know what the hell you're saying. Just shut up.
And now are able to? Something you haven't previously had time for in your busy schedules?
Well, actually, what I've had a chance to do that I haven't in the
past. Listen to this bullshit answer about
something with his kids or grandkids. No, I mentioned grandkids because then that brings up Hunter. He can't really talk about kids because Hunter's his kid. What can he talk about?
You are mistaken, my friend. Okay. There is a way to talk about the grandkids without even going down the Hunter line.
Okay.
I've been able to get on the phone and talk to so many people that I've wanted to connect with and
and
learn from and speak with and talk about what's going on. And so I've spent a lot of time in getting people on the telephone who we just randomly call.
That's
people
really
who
concise. Wait, randomly? He randomly calls people?
Yeah, most people say.
And just to find out how they're doing, what's going on in their lives right now. How are they dealing with this,
this
basically
really
self-quarantine? And because, it's really a difficult thing.
And I bet you that's what happens. He just keeps talking.
Particularly elderly folks, but also you see there's a lot of data now that young people between the ages of...
What kind of an answer is this? He calls random people. That's because I call random people that write, talk about stuff. And then whatever else he's going to say that's...
They were starting off in a job and they're not able to keep that job now, or they've been laid off before they began, or they began and they've been laid off.
What the fuck is he talking
about?
No one knows.
Having to make judgments about paying their student debts and a whole range of things. So
he's making
what I've been able to do is just reach out and talk to people like I used to do on a rope line. When you do a speech, you go down and talk to folks. It's not quite as satisfying, but I've been able to
also
pick up the phone and call a lot of the people around the country and around the world. I haven't had a chance to spend that much time in the last year.
Heads up for some. I don't know if I missed the kids thing, but basically what he says is he talks to the older grandchildren, the five of them, and then he lauds all the great things that they've been doing to help during coronavirus. So he doesn't even mention
the brand new baby grandchild,
the two brand new babies. He doesn't have to talk.
Doesn't
about
get that. Any time with his father.
No, none. No,
zero.
Joe's not doing anything with them. So he talks about the older five. But there's here comes a line of some edits.
Doing.
You'll hear them.
And whether it's world leaders or close friends, to get their sense of what they think we should be doing going into and coming out of this god-awful pandemic. I've gotten to read more on a regular basis
big time
than I have before. I reread a lot of political history.
Boring.
Well, I've been reading, too. I actually finally got to read all of Michelle Obama's biography.
Boring. Oh, my God, how boring.
Now, it's really interesting that the editor chose to
Did anybody see that Michelle Obama has a new show now about kids or something?
She's reading to kids online.
Oh, who would tune into that? I bet you'll have a billion people will, but I can't imagine. Are they in tears? Do they want to cry?
No.
A lot of celebs are doing that. Dolly Parton's doing it too. She's reading nighttime stories to kids. And
you know what it
this
is?
This is just her way to give back during these troubling times.
Dolly doing a video?
Yeah.
So her boobs.
She, you know what? She actually has like Imagination Library or something where she gives out a bunch of free books to poor kids in Appalachia.
She's been doing this prior to COVID, but she's doing it more during the whole pandemic.
And people in Michigan.
She wants to mean something to people in Appalachia. Give them meth. Give them free meth, Dolly.
She also sends books to people in Michigan who use their brother's address. but I can understand why a parent would want a celebrity to read to their kid, because after a while, you know, you just want someone else to do it. But the reason they bring up the books is really fascinating, because I couldn't figure out why the editor would choose to go with Joe reading more and then blowing Michelle Obama and promoting her book. But there was an ulterior motive.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty good. And then and I saw Jill is having one coming out. I noticed that.
Oh.
But mostly for me, it's been so interesting.
So in case you missed it there, they just wanted to let that little plug go that Dr. Jill Biden has a book coming out.
Oh!
Our whole family, because Abigail came to see John.
And now there's some edits coming here because whoever's editing it's like, we got to wrap this piece of shit up.
Of course.
Know what you're eligible for in the Cures Act. Mm-hmm. It's really gotten a lot of wide publicity and viewership. And so they're all doing something positive. And then, you know, it's... it is frustrating not being able to get out. I've not left our home or the yard. But the fact is there's a, you get a sense of how many good people there are out there watching what they're doing for other people. Well, let me tell you, I wouldn't be the nominee had you not endorsed me. You won Minnesota for me. No, I really mean it.
You know what, seriously, but for a show that's this edited, they did a shitty job editing. I mean, you can go through and you can change those words. And you can make it sound like it flows. Trust me.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, I listened to the whole thing straight through. It is so boring. And if it wasn't for the bad edits, it would have lost my attention. And so in a way, the bad edits kept me listening. Let's see. He's about to wrap it up here.
For doing this episode with me, thank everyone who tuned in. And I'd really like to have you back in the next month or so, because no one's done more to try to figure out how we can have our democracy function and
no one's done more.
At the same time, we're going through this crisis. And I think it's be worthwhile for the public to understand what can be done and what has to be done for democracy to function.
We won't find out if you have her back.
Stay tuned for an announcement on who our next guest is going to be. And in the meantime, stay healthy, stay safe, everybody. And Amy, thank you. I love you. Thank you for all
thank
you're
you.
Doing. Appreciate
it. Great.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You know, I wonder if the... I wonder if that
subtle dude's dying
Michelle Obama reference... was thrown in there because she's becoming a front runner as his VP pick, according to the interwebs between Gretchen and Michelle Obama.
She doesn't want to be VP.
No way.
Some people believe you could get a lot of people out to the voting booth if you grab an Obama.
No, I think she would be very helpful to him, but I don't think she'll do it.
Exactly. I don't think
if they say you can be president and Biden will be vice president, she might be interested.
Yeah, why would she have any interest in being vice president.
because
you have to tell Joe he's going to be president.
Go ahead, Brandon.
The theory is that Joe Biden is so old with his loose skin and his old balls that after one term, he's going to hang it up. And that means whoever his VP pick is going to get a pretty, pretty good boost in order to become the next president of the United States.
I don't know.
Interesting.
No way.
She can make way more money being Michelle Obama.
I think, and have
more freedom. I don't know why anybody would want that job post.
When you've been president for 8 years and you've been fighting your whole life to get to that point, I don't blame them for wanting to make a shit ton of money.
Frankly,
why not?
I was always surprised that. Well, I mean, not so surprised knowing that her personality. But why would Hillary Clinton want to become senator?
I have no idea.
It's my turn. I want to be president.
Yeah. I want to be everyone's boss.
And I'm not likable enough to do anything else.
Did you guys hear that Bob Guinea is back in town? He was on Live in the D.
He was Bachelor Bob.
Bachelor Bob. He's not a bachelor anymore, though.
That's right. Doesn't he have a fizzy family man, Bob?
Allegedly.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got a little. Doesn't he have a kid?
I think he has a few kids, doesn't he? Or at least two. I don't know.
Let's see. Wait.
Is he still dancing? Clark was always mad at his dancing. Remember that?
Yes. It looks like he has a baby. He's got a hot wife.
Yeah, of course.
Very pretty. I know. This guy's amazing. But I just wonder, does anybody know where Bob is so we could find him? Bob. He's always fun to have on.
He's good. I like Bob.
Yeah, I like Bob a lot. Dude. Good guy.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where he is.
And Joe Buck turned down a $1 million deal to commentate porn, to do play-by-play for porn. Do people want play-by-play for porn?
No, not really. Yeah, Wouldn't that ruin it if you had Joe Buck doing it? I mean, unless it's just for a laugh.
Well, it might be better than what some porn stars say, because sometimes that ruins it for me.
What are you talking about, really?
Yeah, right there, right there.
I hear some really bad things that I don't want to hear said during porn.
Seriously?
Yes.
I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, wait, hang on. Oh, balls, I ruined it. Where's the Biden's? Biden ruined
just,
my...
After a while, it just feels like...
I will spank my butthole a little bit.
Well, that was cool. Well,
that's not the one I was like that. About.
Hey, didn't
how Dan's could this possibly ruin it?
Look at this. This is my little bit of heaven. I'm like, oh yeah.
Turn over and we'll see that ass. Turn around. Yeah, I want to see that ass.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
just look at that ass already.
Move it around. That's it. Up and down the clouds like that. Oh, yeah, like that.
Shut up.
Wow.
Oh, spank her hard. Come on.
Unbelievable.
That's it.
Hoo-wah.
Fake.
Nice job, none of you.
That was very funny.
Oh, God, I can't believe my dick just barfed that much.
That was the Amy Fisher porno with her husband Lou.
Lou is awesome. Lou is at least, he's real.
I'll just put it this way. I would watch another tape with Lou in it.
I would too.
Probably not for the reason you would want me to watch it.
If I had to watch another porn of either one of them, I would choose Lou. Just because there's something about his voice. It's just bizarre.
Well, I mean, his command of the scene is phenomenal.
He does command the scene. It's like having a director in the movie. It's like a coach on the floor, as they say in basketball. A director in your movie. That's Lou.
That's the worst
corn. I'm just a mechanic.
Sorry, Crystal.
There's Joey.
Oh, man.
Joey Badafuco.
Do we need the Crystal porn alert? Isn't she probably working at home now?
I think she's working at home. Unless she requests it, I think we can skip it for a while.
Yeah, but Crystal has kids, right? So her kids are going to hear this. Even worse.
Well, it's educational.
Than work.
Crystal is hard at work on high finance, but possibly away from her desk. Porn is coming soon. Crystal, get to your desk and turn it down. This is a Crystal porno alert.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, oh, oh.
Turn it down, Crystal. There's some porn coming. Hey, Crystal, heads up.
Spill it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, my fades don't work.
I know you hate it, don't you? Doesn't it drive you nuts?
Yeah, I'm having a lot of technological differences right now, so I apologize.
Yeah, Brandon's not having a good day.
No, it's a good day. It is. What's the problem, Brandon? It's just some crap that's going on with computers and stuff.
I got a picture from Scott, who I guess is in Memphis. It's of this Memphis news anchor, and she's like in the front of her great room. So there's no awards in the background, but it's just this giant room.
Okay. Am I missing something in the background?
No, I don't think so. No, I think the idea was just that she is trying to show off her large house.
Well, did you see the story? I think it was the Chicago News today. Did anybody see that?
Is that the one with the nude person in the background?
Andrew, just read
Wait, the... Wait, a
read,
nude person?
Read the story. Read the story and I'll find the still picture for you because it's just it's phenomenal.
A local television reporter from California accidentally filmed her husband naked in the shower while filming a report from the bathroom of her home?
Yep.
Correspondent from KCRA3 in Sacramento, usually based in Bureau Chief.
I bet you're banging your roommate that was in the shower.
Hey, she's hot.
Yeah.
During a report about tips on how to go about hairstyling while quarantined, a figure could be seen in the shower, believed to be that of her husband.
It's clear as day, by the way.
Oh, please let that not be her husband, wrote one Twitter user. Damn, why does she want to work when she got all that at home?
What? Here's the still.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
I think
watch your smelly ass and balls, you nappy motherfucker, you.
You don't suppose.
On purpose?
Is it possible that was done on purpose? Because you can't see his head. It stops right at his head.
Maybe she's like Kelly Ripa's husband, and she wants everyone to want to fuck her husband. So she wanted people to see him nude and then act like it was an accident.
He's like perfectly positioned.
Go online and look for comments.
Isn't he perfectly positioned in the shot?
Yes. That was like a one in a million.
I think this is the audio here.
People definitely want access to their services.
Hang on.
So people won't have to do this.
Oh, here's the video of him too, Drew. Let me back it up.
People definitely want access to their services.
So it's a story on hairstyling at home, which
boring.
So good job on her to make it more interesting. So here you go.
People won't have to do this.
She's cutting her hair.
Stopped it. Melinda Beza, KCRA 3 News.
Oh, she is brave.
Why? Because she showed her husband nude on TV?
Dick?
I didn't realize that she was the actual reporter. That's awesome.
That's pretty weird.
She's lucky
he didn't start pounding off.
That was one of the biggest stories on the Old Man Show on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. That was...
The background?
Background checks. Yeah. What everybody's background. And did you guys at all see what Keith Richards' book was?
I did not.
In the foreground, he had a drink on one side and then he had a book and it like looked sort of old and goth.
Oh, really?
It had keys on it.
Probably never read that.
A really very successful book.
Nobody knows what it is?
I didn't see. I'll have to look it up. This is from the At Home, One World, Not Together at Home concert.
Yeah. And what did you think of the Rolling Stones homes, if that's their homes? I mean,
Charlie
Watts looked like an old man house, for sure.
It looked like he was in the library to me.
Yeah.
I forgot we never got Trudy's feedback on it. Was there anything redeeming about it to you?
Oh,
the concert?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I liked Ron Wood. I mean, I thought him firing up in the middle of that song was great.
That's pretty cool.
The rest of it, though, it's just like you guys said, you know, it was like four messages that we've heard ad nauseum, and then maybe one tidbit from a person. And everybody, I think, kind of said that it was just sad.
Yeah.
You know, the tempo was really depressing.
Trudy, are you saying that you appreciated very few, but some of the tidbits?
No, because, well, I mean, I appreciated how, you know, the guy from the small hospital had or was that 60 Minutes?
Why, did you watch all remember. You actually watched all the medical stuff in the...
I was in and out of the room and doing something else at the same time, but,
I see.
You know.
My nephew Joe, you know, who works for Free Beer and Hot Wings, he's in that show. Joe thinks that Elton John had a stroke. He thought that he was having trouble...
He couldn't
opening
finish
his mouth and getting words out.
He couldn't finish a syllable. But
it seemed kind of weird.
Yeah. I don't know. I was very sad watching that.
You know,
I want my money back now.
remember when he did the announcement of his final tour, which, by the way, is not even half over, which seems like a billion years ago. He sang Tiny Dancer at that thing, and he cuts off a lot of words when he sings that song. He doesn't sing it like he used to. I like the way he sings it. It's just in a different key, I think.
And a simple, you need to know how to stand it. You just fade away.
I mean, if you don't know the lyrics to that song, you have no idea what he just said there.
Yeah, he's starting to sound like Eddie Vedder.
Yeah. Did you know Eddie Vedder can play an organ?
Yeah, yeah. No, I didn't.
That was surprising.
Huh?
Stopping down the road and leaving me again.
What?
What are you, a senile old man?
To cut me down. If a love would get the circus, you'd be
a clown. I can use a CKG or an EKG.
So.
Still dead, better than I ever did.
What? That's weird.
Looking like a total lava.
Feeling like. Why are you breathing so hard?
He sounds drunk.
Is he playing it right on the piano, too? Sounds like I could play it.
Well, hey, remember, he did just finish that crazy hoop game.
I know, with Furnish. Yeah. Furnish.
Oh, maybe he was out of breath.
Yeah, it's just
I hated Celine Dion, too, being on there.
I didn't even see it. I sped
but
right
But I just
kind
of hate Celine Dion in general. So,
isn't she just like way, way too thin? She's like a third of a Mandy Moore.
Yeah, I know. She looks,
Oh,
she starved herself from since Renee. Did you guys happen to see Randy Newman though?
On the old man show?
On the old man show?
I did not.
He has a COVID song.
It was awful. Yeah, we played it on the show. Thanks for listening.
Oh, sorry.
What? What happened?
We don't need to fucking practice, Randy.
The rebellious teen was back on Dr. Phil again. It's still going on.
Well, I saw that he had that black pastor talk to her, which
what?
I'm sure if Dr. Phil can get through her. TJ, what's his name? TD Yates or Jakes?
Jakes? Get out of here. What, he needed a plug? What, are his collection plates running a little low?
Well, that's Kwame's buddy.
Why is
he is. You're right. Yeah, Kwame tried to suck some money out of him.
I don't think
he fell for it. He's plugging a book.
This is why he was on.
Bishop, in your book, Crushing, God Turns Pressure into Power, there's not a better.
What does that even mean?
Situation for what you're talking about.
Stupid bitch.
You're absolutely right.
But he's crushed a few babes.
For this family to turn this.
I love how overmodulated he is.
And to use this time of introspection, unfortunately, that's come about through COVID-19, but it's given them an opportunity to be.
Why is he so sweaty?
To find that place of healing or negotiation, as you talk about.
And his parents are like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Wait, I'm going to back this up. Watch these stepfather's eyes and watch how bored to tears he is.
Unfortunately,
he starts looking around like, are we still on there?
But it's given them an opportunity to be introspective, to find that place of healing or negotiation, as you talk about.
He's so glazed.
He's checked out a half hour ago.
Think about all the families.
He's been diagnosed as glazed.
Loved ones, mothers or daughters.
What are you talking about?
Shut the fuck up, Jakes.
People just say buzzwords over and over.
I know.
And over
it seems like everyone does this on TV.
Sometimes somebody.
Oh my God, he's still talking. I went way
because there are a lot of families right now who have just lost what you are failing to appreciate.
Yeah, we're in a situation, you know, maybe for the first time, certainly in a long time, that people are dying and they're dying alone because family just can't go be with them.
I'm sure that's really going to get through to
what's
Taylor.
What's to do with this idiot?
It has nothing to do with it. They don't know how to.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but this is boring.
You and Taylor have the opportunity to be together and to work out a life that you can share. And
Taylor, yeah, well, when the kid kicks holes in the wall and
the value of that, right?
Pretends she's going to commit suicide, ain't going to work.
Dina, you recognize the value of that, right?
Absolutely.
Now,
they're equally at fault.
That family is so done with this episode. They're bored. They're more bored to tears than we are.
They're going to be vilified online for being boring.
Boring.
It was a lousy episode of Dr. Phil, and I'll never forgive you for it.
How awful.
Look at TD Jakes still yammering on about nothing. Cut it out, Jakes.
I say, pretty good play by good play by Dr. Phil to have him on to fill out the hour.
We have, by the way, the long interview with Iggy Pop after the show today.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a great interview.
Yeah, Dan came up with it. Where does he find all this stuff?
I don't know.
Who is this Dan guy?
It's crazy.
Hell in archive.
You want to get us out of here?
Sure.
Lead the way for Mr. Iggy Pop, ladies and gentlemen. I don't even know what year this is.
I was just going to.
2008 or so?
I was just going to ask you. 2010? Do you know Brandon or Trudy? Do you know what year that was?
Was he in the studio?
No, he was on the phone.
Oh, okay.
I remember it being a two-reel interview, though.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that puts it in a place and time when you had reel to reel. Remember how long you had reel to reel?
Yeah. Oh, it's got to be earlier 2000s.
Maybe. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. He hasn't done that much since then.
I cannot load the intro or the outro all of a sudden, so that's a shame.
I can do it, I guess. Okay. I don't know. I'm having a hard time hitting buttons myself, but I'll try it right here.
What in the hell is going on here?
Oh, my whole computer just shut down. Well, that's fun.
Yeah, power chair needs a restart too, Mark.
Oh, boy.
We're going to restart it.
We didn't even get to the exciting Harry and Meghan news today.
Oh.
They're breaking up with the tabloids. They sent a mean letter.
Four newspapers in the UK. They will not talk to anymore. I mean, oh my God, they're not going to talk to them. Oh, I'm so crushed. Can't they just stop talking to any media? Can't they just declare all media horrible? No, because they need to be in the media because they need the attention.
They also asked Thomas Markle to stop talking to them.
Wouldn't you love it if you had a daughter who was 35 and she told you to shut up?
You mean like Taylor will in about 20 years?
Yes.
Oy, oy, oy.
And also, she relates to the elephants that she did the voiceover for. She feels she mentally relates to elephants, or she knows how to relate to them.
That Good Morning America interview was
not a fucking interview.
Shit, it was a promo for her stupid documentary.
So is this Val Kilmer interview they're talking about going to be fake too on Tuesday?
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I read a really sad story about Val Kilmer. I hope he's doing better, but they were ballyhooing the interview. In his book, which I think his book's the last thing people be interested in. I hope he's doing better. But anyway, enjoy Iggy Pop. We'll see you tomorrow. Iggy.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, man?
I'm all right. God damn.
You got it.
That's right.
Corn. Out of my system. Now you'll get this civilized.
Hey, for whatever it's.
Look at my Cartier wristwatch to determine the time.
Hey, Iggy, we started playing on the morning show. I mean, we played the tar out of this song. When that Cadillac commercial came out, the Teddy Bear song, Punk Rocker.
I'm glad you played it.
We love that song, and we played it quite a bit, and I don't know if it ever, did it catch on anywhere?
Listen, they're a weird bunch of guys. I mean, they wear bear heads, for Christ's sake.
I know, I saw the cover.
And they're from Sweden, so that's two clues right there, you know? Like, guys from Sweden are not like chicks from Sweden, you know? It's a whole different thing. I don't believe that it's available anywhere to listen to or buy or whatever people do with these things. I did see a little CD somewhere. They sent me one to my home with a chick with a bear head.
Yeah, that's what I got. I bought the CD at Barnes & Noble. And,
it is for sale then.
Yeah, when Trudy was in California, she said she heard it on the radio out there.
All right. It was messing up their release, so they finally just released it to Cadillac. Which was nice.
I thought it was a great commercial.
I thought it was a beautiful piece of film, and I was real, real proud to be associated with Cadillac. It's been one of the most beautiful brands of my whole life. My wonderful late father, who taught at Fordson High in Dearborn, was partial to Cadillacs. And when I was a little boy, I had a whole jump seat in the back seat of a 39 Cadillac. It was some of my earliest memories.
Oh, wow.
Until a couple of years ago, when it kind of fell apart, I had a really, really beautiful 69 caddy convertible, a convertible DeVille. I really like the history of that mark, you know.
I wonder, did you write Punk Rocker?
I contributed, but the music, the melody, and the hook line were all there. I had a lot of trouble accepting the gig because the guy who sang the demo sounded real cool to me until I listened closer and I realized, oh Christ, he's Swedish. he didn't have any words in the verses. He just was making sounds that he thought sounded English, you know?
Oh, wow.
He wasn't really saying anything, and I thought, oh, well, they don't have a point to the song except for those words. I thought I could do justice to the lyric, so.
Well, I wish it was on the Stooges record and, you know, had been pushed as a Stooges song, because I thought it sounded like a Stooges song.
About once every 3 or 4 years of my life, somebody will come up with something that they think kind of sounds right for me, either compared to something I might do a dumb of the Stooges or alone, and it'll come my way, and I know what you mean. When I first heard the demo, I thought it sounded kind of Cars-y too, you know?
Yeah.
It reminded me of Cars a little bit, especially if you heard the original singer, because he didn't have a full voice. He had a little voice like, you know, this, I'm a punk rocker, you know. It sounded more like Rick, you know.
Hey, I got to tell you something else. We dug up the Tom Snyder DVD when Tom was the only guy in America who was willing to play or have punk and new wave people on his television show at night. Carson wouldn't have anybody on. Whoever else was doing late night TV wasn't. And here's Tom Snyder, this really incredibly unhip guy who smokes cigarettes on his show, having the Ramones, yourself, Elvis Costello, people who couldn't get appearances on American TV anywhere. And there were you. And
yeah, I used to see Tom in front of Rodney Bingenheimer's English Disco, you know, trying to talk to Led Zeppelin. Or seriously, and he was really, I mean, you can probably tell on the TV show, he's incredibly tall. He's one of these tall people that was like faintly embarrassed about it, and he was always trying to kind of bend over.
Yeah, those people that are so tall they bend over. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, he was a nice guy.
And you did 5'1" on the show, and you did TVI, and you went to do your interview, and your lip was bleeding. You'd hit it on the mic, and your front tooth was gone.
That front tooth had been gone for about a year, and I kind of liked the way it made me look. I used to pull it out and stick it in for effect, depending on what mood I was in. I was feeling kind of like piratical at the time, so I thought, yeah, this is cool, you know. And you know, the blood, I don't know if that was my lip or my nose or what was going on. I used to bleed a lot more from the neck up than I do lately.
Yeah, you did used to bleed a lot. But boy, I tell you, you still keep your abs in incredible shape.
God almighty, you're in shape.
What do you do? 100...
I don't know. I'm not a big exercise guy, but I do some Chinese every day just to start me up, and that seems to be okay for me.
It would be weird to see what you would look like if you were a big fat slob. You know, everybody went, look what happened to Iggy. Look how huge he is. You know?
Yeah, it would be weird. You know?
It would. Because there's not a picture. I mean, every photograph I think you've ever taken, there's those abs, you know?
I used to do sit-ups when I was in my 20s, like, you know, like maybe 3 days a month, I'd get guilty about my lifestyle. 25 sit-ups, you know.
That'll fix it.
That passed a long time ago, so I don't know, you know. It's just one of those things.
I do the same thing with bottled water from time to time. That's as far as I go.
There was another. There's another body part of yours that you tend to be proud of, at least when you're in concert. And it surprised a few people.
From time to time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not something we can plan on August the 7th, I take it.
No, I mean, I haven't, you know, I haven't whipped it out in a long time.
You must kind of miss it. Just for old time's sake.
I've pulled down my zipper once in a while, just to get a laugh.
Yeah.
That's about it. I think I mooned a couple of times in the last 5 years.
I read about apparently there was I don't know what concert it was or whatever, or if it was all each concert you did, but there was supposedly a concert writer that I'm not even sure who created it, but it would be all these hilarious things that you guys would want backstage, which included a Bob Hope impersonator and a copy of USA Today with a story about morbidly obese
crocodile.
People.
A crocodile.
Yeah.
That's Josh. My stage manager, although he prefers just, I'm just a roadie, you know, he's an English roadie that's been doing me for, I don't know, 20, at least probably 25 years now. And, he gets irritated that nobody reads the writer. That's kind of the joke behind it, is the booty promoters don't read the writer, do they? You know, so we get there and we haven't got what we asked for. So he said, well, if they're not going to read it anyway, he started to make it more and more elaborate. to prove that no one had read it. You know?
How funny if all of a sudden you went to a show and here backstage was a Bob Hope impersonator for you.
That would be really great. I'd love to have a crocodile back there too, you know. I think he asked somebody, and we were playing in Slovakia. He asked them for 2 wind machines so that my hair would blow like John Bon Jovi. And the guy took it seriously and was upset, you know. And he said, we cannot be responsible for your hair if it will not look like John Bon Jovi. So is this some sort of a joke? I don't get it, you know. So,
you know, we mentioned the Cadillac commercial. It was also kind of surprising to see you were in this phone commercial with Madonna was in there and Little Richard.
It was all virtual. Like when I did it, I wasn't the only body, but I was the only known body, and then they had a bunch of nobodies to stand in for the other people, you know? And then they recreated, they recreated, you know, so. It was funny, and they made a big sandbox. It was my bit was in London.
Doesn't it? Does it seem to you that your career is almost at its apex now? Because I hear more about you, the Stooges. I saw you guys at Pine Knob. I thought Ron Ashton was playing better than I ever remember him playing. And
he is, yeah.
The crowd was absolutely wild. The place was jammed. And I thought, geez, I wonder, was Iggy selling out Pine Knob back in the Funhouse days? I mean, it was
no,
just...
No.
I didn't
no,
think
we
so.
Is the answer. No, this is definitely... I think both myself and the group have been at a career peak. And it's been kind of a nice thing. It's kind of a nice surprise to be going, you know, to be getting here at my age. You know, that's usually the cliche is you peak at 25 or whatever, although there are other people who've been around a while who are doing very well, which it's not only us, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you seemed like such, as far as your act and your career, it was such unrestrained youth. Just, you know, I would always think of you as a guy who was 25 and out of his mind. And now here you are, seemingly clean and sober, you know, at your age now. And it seems like your career couldn't be hotter.
I am clean and sober. It's more than seeming. Although it only takes one glass of wine to get me pretty loaded. I'll get loaded at dinner tonight. That's about as loaded as I get, you know. And then after a gig, I'll have 2 glasses of wine, and that makes me really crazy. And that's about as then I'll talk about it. That's about as bad as it gets.
And then it might come out. Maybe.
Yeah, right. You know, David Bowie was such an important thing with you, you know, with of course, the co-writing with China Girl and all that. And you had a nice influx of money there. And I believe when things started rolling nicely for you financially, you're able to kick heroin and all that sort of thing. How's your relationship now with David? Do you see him very often?
I do not. I haven't heard from him in a while. Every few years, I'll get a call from him. And the last time, it had a very nice chat. And then, you know, as he is the more ascendant of the two people, I just waited for him to get around to. Okay, now you probably imagine there's a reason for this call, and there is. Around to the reason, and that was actually one he had an idea, and it was one I couldn't do because I had the date filled, and I haven't heard from him since. Mm-hmm. But the atmosphere is good.
Good, yeah. Have you seen Factory Girl, the movie?
No, what's that?
It's about Andy Warhol's factory, and it's really about Edie Sedgwick.
But I haven't. Who's playing her?
Sienna Miller.
Okay.
And then they reference Nico kind of taking over for her right before Edie dies. Nico becomes kind of Warhol's it girl, and I know you and Nico had a little history.
Is that depicted in the movie? Or
No, they don't show you getting the clap or anything.
I don't remember that part. That's more in the Ron Ashton treasure trove of memories.
But, oh, is that right? Okay. Yeah,
that's what he tells me. I don't remember that part. I just remember, you know, more of the sexual learning book. I learned that there was wine in the world that wasn't Boone's Farm or Ripple, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, those are so popular.
What do you mean? What do you mean you don't want to drink this Ripple, Nico? Oh, no. I mean, we drink a European Beaujolais.
God, those wines were so... Those were so popular in the early 70s, man. It's incredible.
Didn't she move into Funhouse for some brief period?
Yeah, she lived with us she lasted at least a couple of weeks. And she was, you know, she would actually come to the rehearsals and pay attention and then make serious remarks. And she came to the gigs. Those are some of my crazier gigs, and it's convenient to blame it on her, which I will. but I made a video with her too, and it's on YouTube right now, and it was for the song Evening of Light.
Oh, really?
And we made it out in a potato field near Ann Arbor, and I hadn't seen it. I didn't know that anyone had ever seen it. And then someone told me, hey, you know, you're on YouTube with a chick, Nico, you know. And I looked at it, and I asked, I was with my girlfriend now, Nina, and I asked her, who's that guy? And she said, I think that's you, you know. It was. I didn't even recognize myself.
Jesus.
Oh, that was funny.
I was very hippied out, you know. Yeah. I had hippie hair, and I was all vegetarianed out. I was real skinny. I kind of walked around like a girl or something, you know. But everybody did in sort of 68 to 72.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole the peak of rock androgyny, you know.
Yeah, hey, so true, man.
How do we look that up? We're trying to look it up on YouTube. What's it under?
Evening of Light.
Evening of Light. Okay, we're looking for it right now.
Yeah, it should be on there.
Hey, we were just looking at Evening of Light. What a bizarre looking video that is! And God, is that Nico? She was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy. Yeah.
Very strange, but what a knockout!
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, she had some good bones. She was older than I. She was already well into her 30s in that video. Andy Warhol staying in the Tropicana Motel with the entire cast of the movie called Heat when the Stooges recorded Funhouse. So you had the Stooges and then Andy Warhol and all his entourage and then Ed Sanders of the Village Fugs, which was a kind of the great American beatnik band, was there writing a book about Charles Manson. So it was a heavy vibe in that place. And he had his new It girls there at the time, who were Jane Forth and Donna Jordan, I believe was the other girl's name. So he used to, you know, he changed its pretty regularly. Ultraviolet was another one of his its. You know, he had a few superstars, he called them.
What a scene to be a part of. That movie.
Superstar was another one.
Oh, okay. That whole scene, though, at least as depicted in the movie, it was just bizarre. There was a movie he made of some guy riding around in a jockstrap on a tricycle. There were like six...
Dark energy to that crowd.
Well said. Hey, you played Bam Margera's wedding, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. He's a pretty easygoing dude. It was my first... exposure to anyone who does a reality show, and it wasn't too bad at all, you know?
Yeah, I just was kind of thinking, I wonder if that was your first wedding gig.
Yes, it was.
You know, at that point in your life, it's usually people are pretty well past the wedding gigs at your level of success.
No, we were, it was definitely one of those, he got us because he was on TV.
Oh, yeah, of course. No, I know. I'm just kidding. Iggy Pop, Iggy and the Stooges are at Meadowbrook August the 7th. Tickets are still available. And trust me, this is one hell of a show, having been to the Pine Knob one, which was, I think, the second show you guys had reunited for. And how is this whole thing going? I mean, all this time apart, 30-some years, and, people, I think, always wanted the Stooges to be back together and for you to play with them, and finally it happened, and it's just going gangbusters, it seems like.
Real good, and, I can't thank everybody enough.
How did it happen, though? I mean, after all that time, I mean, did you think it was never going to happen?
I would have never thought it would happen, and then at some point, I'd kind of run out of ideas, but... I hadn't run out of career yet, so I was looking for other things to do. And the Stooges were on a list, you know. Basically, I resisted the idea for a long time, but Ron Ashton had been out touring with Dinosaur Jr.
Dinosaur Jr.?
Also with Mike Watt.
Wow.
And then Scott Ashton joined them, so they were doing work. They had one band with Mike Watt, Jay Massis, and Ron and Scott, and then they had another thing where they were doing guest shots for Dinosaur Jr. So it put them in mind. I was inviting guests onto an album, and I couldn't get my record company to call up Justin Timberlake. instead, I called Ron Ashton because I know I still knew his phone number.
I've been reading Iggy Pop Open Up and Bleed. Have you heard much about this book by Paul Trinka? Do you know this guy, or did you cooperate at all?
No, I didn't. He was the editor of a rather good music magazine called Mojo from England.
Yeah, I love Mojo.
And
yeah.
Over a number of years, he interviewed me three times in depth for the magazine. Without telling them or me, he cached away the best parts of the interviews and didn't put them in stories. And then at the end of our last session together, he said, "Guess what? I've been commissioned to do a biography of you." And I said, "Well, I try to be polite to everybody." I said, "Well, that's fine. Good luck with it." And he flirted with me for a few months, waiting to see if I would want to influence him or get involved or throw the book at him or threaten to sue him. And I really didn't do anything other than there were a few times when people I don't have a relationship with anymore were approached by him to talk about me, and they said, well, we'll only do that if Iggy says it's okay. In those cases, I didn't want to be put in the position of being someone who tried to hush up another human being. So I just went ahead and told him, I think it was an ex-girlfriend, an ex-drug doctor, and one other person, I can't remember. And I said, sure, go ahead. Oh, my music publisher. I said, go ahead and talk to the guy, no problem. But then that sort of emboldened him, and he started asking me, well, he started wanting to ask me questions or talk to my family, that sort of thing. And I said, look, this isn't an authorized thing. I don't want to help or hinder you, and let's have a clean break.
You know, one of the neatest things that we've read about you, and I you're one of those artists I just can't seem to read enough about because there's always something new and fun and just great to talk about. But one of the things that I bumped into was that you were considered to replace Jim Morrison in the Doors.
There was a young man who managed the group after Jim died. He managed, in effect, their posthumous career. His name was Danny Sugarman. Around Hollywood, there are a lot of them like this. Rich kid, grown up, good-hearted, not a lot of sense. And
loved music, loved rock and roll.
He wrote a book called Wonderland Avenue in which he embellished a lot of stories about me. But one thing he did do was try to broach the idea either of me singing in a reconstituted Doors or at least doing some music with Ray Manzarek. And it just wasn't going to happen. But,
no, huh? God, I think that would have been so cool.
I think these are, the Doors are wonderful musicians. And I was not happy to see them going out recently with these other singers, but I understand, too, you know?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Krieger and Manzarek, those guys are incredible. I mean, I saw that show at DTE, too, with Ian Astbury.
They probably played well, right?
Yeah, they were fantastic.
They're fine players. They're extraordinarily, they're not your average rock thugs, put it that way.
Yeah, but I would have thought they could write some new music. I would have thought they could have written some fantastic new music with a new band of some kind.
They could, but it wasn't meant to be for me and them, and, you know, so you never know. There's always tomorrow. Ray just passed me his phone number. The Stooges were honored along with them at the Mojo Awards this year.
Oh, wow.
So I think the Doors were living legends and the Stooges were lifetime achievements, and Alice Cooper was a hero and Ozzy was an icon.
You know,
they managed to squeeze us all in. The coolest guy at the whole dinner was Ike Turner.
Oh, really?
They honored Ike, which is really cool.
Oh, that's way cool.
Nobody honors Ike. It's always Tina, you know.
Oh, exactly.
God, yeah.
Oh,
he's great. We talked to him a lot.
I heard he did a record a couple years ago that's supposed to be fantastic.
I wouldn't doubt it. He's an awesome talent, and he looked fly. He looked really fly at dinner, you know.
Is that right? You referenced your dad a little earlier, and you know I've read so much about you that your parents seem so kind and
Your mom so gentle.
Yeah, your mother, and so normal, and it's like, how did they have this kid that's just absolutely, you know, taking the world by storm? And you know, it seems like a few people have been trampled the path to your maturity, no doubt. But you just don't seem like their son for some reason. And I don't mean that as an insult at all.
But then on the other hand, you are a peacemaker, you know, it seems to me. And you've kept everything pretty calm with the band. I think you were quoted as saying you've never a fist or a bad word with the guys and always try to keep everything on an even keel.
But your mom, the story I love is her, you wanted an organ, and she said, yeah, I'll get you one if you'll get your hair cut.
You know, yeah. Well, that's a mom for you, you know?
Yeah, it just sounds so Midwestern.
I had real, real nice parents. My father, who was just a great man, he passed away just very recently, a few weeks ago.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not all the way over it yet.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, it's part of life.
Yeah, and we're all at that age, too, where we're losing our parents, too. Jeez.
Yeah. But I think he, my dad definitely had the fire. And
is that right?
That's where I get mine. But he was born into different circumstances. So in a way, he did the setup work for me. We were the kids of the people who actually went out and sacrificed their youth and young adulthood to go fight this enormous war.
Yeah.
And that generation, my parents also lived through the Depression as teenagers, you know. And so they had a rough time. And, you know, our biggest problem was, well, am I going to smoke pot or drop acid today?
Yeah.
Shall I grow my hair or, you know, get a haircut and get that organ, you know?
And you got the organ.
So true.
And I guess you got the haircut.
I got the organ, right.
Yeah. A Farfisa.
She was wonderful to do that for me, and I couldn't play the damn thing, and they were very patient about everything. I wish I had caused them less trouble and given them more happiness, but I did the best I could later, you know.
I couldn't help but wonder, did your dad go to the DTE show that I was at a couple years back when you guys reunited?
No, he went to my show. He and my mother went to my show up until we played at one point the Michigan Theater, the local cinema in Ann Arbor, where they used to take me to see like Walt Disney movies. Like that, my mom took me to see Bambi there. And they went to see me play there. And then at that point, I think that was in something like 81 or something, my dad spoke for the family and said very politely, you know, we're going to retire now from your life. We're getting older and we've had enough excitement.
Wow.
And that was it. It was right. It was that show or Masonic, right somewhere in the 80s. I can't explain it.
Wow. Yeah. Well, this Meadowbrook show, I'm sure it'll be just the bomb.
Oh, yeah.
Tuesday, August 7th. God, Iggy, couldn't you get us a Friday night?
I should have. You know, I never know. I never know whether it's the weekend or not because I'm a musician, you know?
Right.
It's like, am I in town? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Detroit thing is we seem to get all the best shows on Mondays and Tuesdays
God,
and
every
Sundays.
Time.
Because this town will...
That's a bummer, man.
Yeah, it really is.
But it's because we're such a good rock town. This place will always fill it up on the off night.
And they know it,
well,
so...
Well, we're playing Friday night, but here in Spain, that's where I am now, you know?
Oh, wow. Geez. How cool.
Yeah.
How do you do in Spain?
We're doing okay. We do well.
Hey, thanks for the time, Iggy, and I hope the show goes well at Meadowbrook. We'll be there. And
okay, man.
Yeah, thanks for the time, man. God.
Hey, you guys too, eh?
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Best of luck with everything.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Iggy. Bye-bye.